Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Spot Me podcast. My name is Danny O'Hanlon.
My name is Niall McCann.
We survived the snow event.
The Beast from the East.
The Beast from the East. Why were they calling it that?
Because it's from Siberia. It's a Siberian weather system that shoot
still,
across
though,
us.
The Beast from the East.
Yeah, well, it rhymes.
Yeah, it does.
You have to give them that, Danny.
Yeah.
It certainly does rhyme.
But I was saying to you before we press record, as a country, man, we need to be able to... I understand that the people that live in rural areas are going to be essentially fucking prisoners in their own homes during weather like this, but the whole country can't shut down for 3 days, like, you know.
Well, would that, yeah, okay.
It wasn't even bad snow, like, it wasn't that
it
bad.
It was.
It wasn't, Niall. It wasn't, like... I lived through 3 months of that when I was living in Michigan. Like, people just learn how to fucking deal with it. You know?
Yeah, I accept that. But it costs money to deal with it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
In Montreal,
well, little by not, little, we should.
Not all of Canada. Montreal alone has a $300 million budget for dealing with snow every year.
Okay.
Right? So if this is something that's going to... The last time I remember snow anywhere... Well, this was worse now. But the last time I remember anywhere comparable snowing was 2010. So this is something that we're going to have to deal with once every 8 years.
Yeah, but how long was it before 2010? Like, do you not think maybe the gaps between these things are getting... Well, yeah, but what I'm saying is the gaps between these things are getting smaller. And they're going to keep getting smaller.
That's very possible. And there's a cost-benefit analysis to be done there. I accept. But also, the idea that we should be spending Michigan or Montreal level money to prepare for weather events that are only going to be happening maybe once a decade is silly.
Yeah, but it's not going to be just once a decade, man. That could be winter now.
Well, it's not going to be winter now. I accept that it could be.
It's near spring.
I accept that it could be winter. It could. They could be much more common. And fair enough. And then we will have to take matters into our own hands. But... The number of people... I got asked to speak on News Talk on Friday.
Why? How did you even get in the loop for that?
Because I was walking around to me... My folks... I'm from a very rural area, right up in the mountain, and they've been just cut off. And Mam looks after Nanny, her mother, and goes in, so she couldn't get out. So during the snow, I was kind of wandering around, and I was, because work was stopped. So I was kind of wandering around to Nanny's then through the snow in the mornings and, you know, making toast, putting her porridge in the microwave, whatever, just shit like that. And that was grand on Friday.
She has the same breakfast I do.
There you go. The old lady's choice.
Yeah, and mine.
I was walking around, and on Friday, there were drifts. Now, there were only drifts, right? It wasn't like the entire... landscape was blanketed under it, but there were drifts that were literally halfway up my calf walking around to Island Park, right?
Okay, all right. I didn't venture down that part of town. I didn't realize it got
it's,
that far.
No, like, it was grand out here. Any of the main roads, I'm kind of on the main road, in one of the main roads into town, so it was actually grand here, you know.
Did you have wellies?
No, I had to buy new, I bought new runners today because the other ones were already. They'd seen better days, and by Jesus, after the snow and the salt.
And what? Oh yeah, I was just gonna say, what is the salt would kind of wreck them, wouldn't they? After all that.
Probably, I don't know. I got
just in the bin.
I got lovely new runners now, Danny.
Converse, Vans,
Skechers. I like the memory foam.
Oh, is it memory? I have a pair of Penny Skechers that I use as slippers.
Oh,
I can't wear slip-on shoes outside. That's ludicrous.
I don't mind slip-ons.
Takes all sorts, Niall.
Anyway, I was walking around and I had Pat Kenny going in my ears, and this fella, and Pat Kenny read out a text about a man from Dundalk, who was saying essentially, Pat, it is a disgrace that this country is shutting down for a light, his words, light dusting of snow.
Well, it wasn't a light dusting.
At this stage, I was literally standing in a snowdrift that was halfway up my calf, and I... stopped walking and stood in that snowdrift until I sent an irate text to Pat Kenny saying, I am from Dundalk. I am at this moment in Dundalk. It is halfway up my calf where I am standing currently. I don't care where you're from. I don't care if you're from Siberia or Canada or deep in the Arctic Circle. If it's up to your calf, that's not a light dusting.
No,
that is at best a heavy dusting. A very heavy dusting.
I think the word dusting can be
Yeah, you can
eliminated.
Dispense with dusting. And so I got a call back then, about 10 minutes later,
it's
asking
like
me to go.
He sounds angry enough to be on this show.
I got a call back to ask me to go on and speak about conditions of the dog. No, I didn't. I was like, I'm walking around to be nanny's here. I'm gonna make up
nanny comes first.
Good luck. Also, would you want to be the self-appointed representative of Dundalk in the snow?
No, I wouldn't.
I certainly
would not. It'll get shared on Facebook and stuff. I'd have no interest.
Like stalwart listener Glenn Cooper's wedding.
Yeah, Cooper's wedding. Got shit was on. Who's your man? Who was at it?
Marty Morrissey.
Wee Jackie Mason looking dude.
Irish hero, Marty Morrissey, yes. Brave in the elements to go and crash a wedding.
What happened? So Glenn Cooper, regular listener to this show.
Whose stag I was about 2 weeks ago.
Ended up on, was it on the Late Late Show?
It was briefly on the Late Late Show. It was on Sean O'Rourke that morning. They put out an emergency call because Brian had gotten snowed in and was trying to walk through the Beast from the East to get to the church, best man. And they put out a call, if anybody in South Dublin has any kind of 4x4 transport...
or a broom,
pick up,
fly him to the fucking ring.
Pick up this man and bring him to the church. Get him to the church on time. So yeah, so Glenn was a bit of a cause célèbre, but I was sorry I missed it then. You know,
I saw a clip of it somewhere.
Yeah, it was doing the rounds. Fair play. Congratulations, Glenn. Congratulations, Iona. Iona, I hope I am pronouncing that right. You were charm personified on the various media outlets.
Yeah, it looked like it was a nice do.
Also, your father sounds like great crack. He was having a whale of a time on Sean O'Rourke. Nothing was damping that man's spirits. That man's a hero.
But, so we got through it anyway. It's the important thing.
Yeah, seems like, you know.
I saw a thing on Facebook where talk of the town, one of these fucking, you know, shrieking twats.com, whatever it's called. Like, you know.
Oh, I love that thing.
But, there was a woman saying, is Tesco's open today? I called them and there's no one there to answer the phone. And it's just like, well, that probably means they're not open, you fucking dope. You know?
You see, that's why I texted, right? It's because it's the anger that gets me. Like, it's the absolute anger and entitlement. Like, I can't get out of my house, but everybody else should be able to serve my needs.
The same people that were fucking fingers crossed for a day off work were the same people complaining that there was fucking, you know, Lidl was closed or whatever, like, you know.
There was one Lidl that got seriously opened. Did you see that?
Fucking ludicrous, isn't it?
Welcome to Ireland, baby.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, a digger through the fucking front door.
Yeah, they took a big old JCB and just pulled the side wall off it, knowing that in the blizzard who's going to be running out to challenge them in the middle of the driving snow.
Jesus Christ.
But also, if you're going to do that, Lidl? Why Lidl? That happened in Dublin, didn't it?
Do you know what we noticed?
Could have done it to Brown Thomas, like.
We were walking around, we got to Tesco's, I don't know what night it was, or Lidl. Honestly, it was more to just fucking get out of the house than anything, just to see was something open, like, you know.
I kind of went into work on Friday, briefly, but I was going mostly nuts. It was because I can't be doing this anymore.
Yeah, it's not, I don't know, when I was 22, I don't know, a couple of days in bed might have been great, like, but now it's just like, I'm going fucking nuts, I gotta get out of this house, like, you know.
I thought, oh, this is fantastic, I'll do a wee bit of writing, I'll fucking learn a couple of songs I have
offered. I did none of that.
Neither did I.
And it was a gift for anyone who wanted to do that kind of thing.
Yeah,
there you go. I was just like, no.
Meh.
That's how Dylan wrote Time Out of Mind during a blizzard.
Really?
Couldn't fucking go anywhere. I had to cancel his gigs. Wrote Time Out of Mind. What did I do?
Well, tell us what you do. I interrupted you. You and Kat went down to
We went to Lidl and we realised that, the bread aisles are cleared, but you know what? All the ethnic bread is still here. The naans and the pitas and all this kind of stuff. And we're just like, none of that out of foreign shite.
What did you do? Just live off naan bread?
Well, no. Do you know what? As I said this to Kat, I was like, the bread aisle is empty. You know what aisle is fucking bulging, though? Where the flour is.
Uh-huh.
Buy some fucking flour, you cunts. But I make bread anyway, so we were cool for bread.
Yeah, Mam made a lot of bread, I believe. She was probably going to be binning a lot of bread.
This is the thing, though. There's a lot of bread and milk that's just going to end up in the fucking bin.
It's like, ridiculous. You know. And I was kind of worried because on Monday, I went out and I bought a shit ton of meat. I just bought,
you can freeze it, though. Although you can freeze bread, too.
Well, you can, but you can freeze meat easier.
But you can only really use it for toast after you've taken it out of the freezer.
There you go. I never freeze bread. I wouldn't do it.
Okay.
Don't know why. Don't know what the situation is. But then on Wednesday, people were like, oh, the bread and milk's running out. And I was like, why? Should I have been getting bread and fucking... I nearly got into the panic myself, Danny. I nearly ran out the door like, I didn't realise it was bread. I thought I was okay with the meat. But, you know, bread.
Yeah. I heard so much about bread over the last few days.
Sickening, isn't it?
But
sickening is hard. Sickening is harsh.
You know, we're just not used to dealing with it, that's all. But, you know, I will say, have a few fucking bags of flour in the house and you'll be fine.
Yeah, no, look, you're going to be fine anyway. Like.
Yeah, yeah. Especially us. We live in the middle of town.
Yeah, it was grand. Although I will say, Thursday, the actual night of the blizzard, I was in here and I was kind of looking out the back window and it was snowing heavily, but it wasn't violently snowing. Like, I was
yeah,
like,
yeah, it always looked fairly light, but then you'd wake up and go, oh shit.
But this is it. By midnight, I went up to bed. And my bedroom's on the other side of the house, the front of the house. And just before I got into bed, I sort of opened the blinds a bit and I peeked out and it was wild.
Yeah, yeah, it was very windy as well.
Yeah, coming off the Castletown River, it was just solid driving snow. It was like, looking out the back, I would have thought, oh shit, if I absolutely had to run out on that, I could run out on that. Like, that's not that big a deal. But when I looked out the front, I was like, if I had to run out on that, I might die. That's like, that's crazy.
And what did you do when you were stuck in the house for 2 days on your Todd?
I watched a couple of old, sort of long time, tick off the list films. You know.
Any of them worth swapping?
I enjoyed most of them. You wouldn't like them. Double Indemnity was good.
What's Double Indemnity about? Indemnity?
It's about a fella and a woman who embark on a plot to murder a man.
That sounds good.
Yeah, it is, but you wouldn't like it. I can tell you now you wouldn't like it.
Who was in it?
Och, I don't know. Edward G. Robinson is the only one I recognized. Oh. No, there were some kind of names that...
Also, it was an old movie.
Yeah, it's like 1940 maybe or something.
Oh, okay.
But it was good. But it's all, listen, doll fish.
I like that shit. I like the big sleep.
Stay quiet.
I haven't seen it in forever, but I liked it when I saw it.
Maybe, but this is a bit more... I might swap with you to see.
Yeah, no point in guessing. I like The Third Man.
Yeah, but The Third Man is quality. The Third Man's one of the great films.
Yeah, I suppose so.
In my opinion.
But I watched...
Income tax free, old boy.
Myself and Kat watched Mute. And it gave me enough to comment on the Wittertainment social group about it, which you added me to. I was walking home last week after I left here fucking cross-eyed, dude.
I
was hammered doing this podcast last week.
Not only were we hammered, we sounded hammered.
Yeah, we did. We sounded hammered.
I did listen to the podcast during the blizzard.
I was here for another couple of hours afterwards, and I left even more fucking... And it was like...
You didn't leave until the drink was finished, like... We had like two solid more hours of drinking straight whiskey.
Yeah. No, it was ginger ale.
Oh, ginger ale. Right, that's right, that's right. Whiskey and ginger ale, yeah.
But I left home and I got a ding on my phone and I looked at it and it was like, Niall has invited you to join the Wittertainment social group. And it was like, there was two questions. And it was like, I think one was, how do you join the Wittertainment social group? And it was, you just joined the Wittertainment social group. And one was, what does HTJI stand for? And I was like, I have no idea. I don't know I literally said, I don't know. Because I did all this on the way home. Because I was, like, and then I just literally went, I don't know. And it was hello to Jason Isaacs, HTJI.
Oh, yeah, I should have.
I was like, I don't fucking know. Like, they don't say HTJI on the show.
No, they never say HTJI. But I've never heard that.
But I will say, it's an interesting wee group. It's fun to read the stuff.
Yeah, it is quite cool. And, funny enough... did you see the guy had the post with the vibrator from Innerspace on it?
Yeah, yeah.
I saw that. It was like a post about sort of inappropriate things in kids' films. And I was, oh shit, I'm putting the fucking vibrator from Innerspace up. But somebody beat me to it.
Yeah, that was really interesting. And maybe we should stick the podcast up there some week, just putting that out there. Anyway, speaking of which, this is the Swap Meet podcast.
Okay, yeah, go on.
Every week, myself and Niall get together and we swap pop cultural artifacts. Albums, movies, TV shows, comics, that Whiskies. Kind of thing. Whiskey.
Whiskey these days.
Yeah, there's a lot of whiskey swapping going on, which is grand. But
it's okay by me.
So then we get back here and we chat about it. We hash it out.
Mm-hmm.
This week we have, it's a comedy week this week, a stand-up special and a comedy movie.
Yes.
A newer addition to the canon and a classic. Which would you rather go with first?
Let's go with the joke first.
Okay, so, Niall, I got you to watch 1978, Steve Martin's first movie, I believe.
Fair play.
Or at least his first starring movie, directed by Carl Reiner.
Carl Reiner.
The Jerk.
The Jerk.
The Jerk.
What do you make of it?
Love it. I swapped it.
Yeah, okay.
So, Steve Martin, born a poor black child.
I was born a poor black child.
Why is he talking like that at the start? He doesn't talk like that at any other point in the film.
No, it's a strange one. All
I right. was born a poor black child.
I would consider myself a Steve Martin fan. But I think I'm a fan of the stuff that actual Steve Martin fans don't really regard as Steve Martin.
Maybe something stuff. Well, I mean, a lot of the stuff he's known for is stuff. He wasn't just a film star. Like, he originated a lot of stuff. Like, he originated Roxanne. He originated L.A. Story. Both of Bowfinger. Which I love. Bowfinger's a great movie.
Oh, I hate Bowfinger.
Oh, do you? I love Bowfinger.
Well, I saw it once and I was like, God, yeah, I can't have it.
No, I liked it. I like Bowfinger.
Maybe I should revisit.
A lot of his stuff I don't like, you know. But
Father of the Bride.
No, I love Father of the Bride.
Yeah, that's okay. I was going to say that was a trap.
I saw it when I was very... But there's... See, Father and the Bride has one of my favorite Steve Martin scenes of all time, is when he's buying hot dogs.
The hot dog buns.
I am removing the superfluous buns.
Oh, it was a good film. But you see, that's the kind of stuff that I like. I like Planes, Trains and Automobiles. I like Father of the Bride. And he's not overly Steve Martin in those.
The Jerk is...
Dirty Rotten Scoundrels
is born directly out of his stand-up act, and his stand-up act was silly with a capital S.
I am not sure how big a fan I am of it.
Well, let's go with a clip. So he
of his stand-up.
No. Well, no. I have three clips from the film here. So he leaves home, hitchhikes. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's a weird film. There's no real narrative to it. It's just bits.
Yeah.
He gets a job at a petrol station. Then Emmett Walsh tries to kill him.
With Jackie Mason.
Yeah. Hey, he sends a postcard.
He's got a dig ready.
It's a masterpiece of understatement.
I love Jackie.
That's it, isn't it?
Everybody
loves Jackie Mason. Yes. Yeah, no kitchen, no bathroom, no facilities. It's a masterpiece of understatement. Okay, but this is... he meets what's her name? I can't even think of her name in the film, but the actress's name is Bernadette Peters. Does she have a name in the film?
Which one?
His girlfriend.
The first one or the second?
Second one.
I can't remember.
I don't know. Maybe she.
Blondie McGee.
Blonde lady who looks a bit like that lady who is in The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, but isn't.
Who? Oh, yeah. Oh, that's bad. We should know
she's
her
in,
name.
She's been in a lot of shit that we've done
she's
on this podcast. Scrooged.
Yeah, she was in. Yeah,
she was in Mike Birbiglia's movie. She was in.
Has Mike Birbiglia
Al Pacino robbing the bank?
Yes,
she was in that film.
Serpico. I was going to say Dog Day Afternoon.
Serpico is the opposite of Al Pacino robbing the bank.
Al Pacino depositing money. Sorry, go on. What am I saying? Play the fucking clip.
Anyway, this is a clip that they have their first date, and this is a conversation they have. When she's asleep.
Marie, are you awake? Good. You look so beautiful and peaceful. You almost look dead. And I'm glad because there's something I want to say that's always been very difficult for me to say. I slit the sheet I slit, and on the slitted sheet I sit. I've never been relaxed enough around anyone to be able to say that. You give me confidence in myself. I know we've only known each other for 4 weeks and 3 days, but to me, it seems like 9 weeks and 5 days. The first day seemed like a week, and the second day seemed like 5 days, and the third day seemed like a week again. And the fourth day seemed like 8 days. But the fifth day, you went to see your mother, and that seemed just like a day. But then you came back, and then later, on the sixth day in the evening when we saw each other, that started seeming like 2 days. So in the evening it seemed like 2 days spilling over into the next day, and that started seeming like 4 days. So at the end of the sixth day, on into the seventh day, it seemed like a total of 5 days. And the sixth day seemed like a week and a half. I have it written down, but I can show it to you tomorrow if you want to see it. Anyway, I've decided that tomorrow, when the time is right, I'm going to ask you to marry me. If that's okay with you, just don't say anything. You've made me very happy.
So, that is the level of daftness that you're dealing with in this movie. I love it. I would consider myself a Steve Martin fan, but more so of early Steve Martin. Although I like L.A. Story and Roxanne. And,
I really like L.A. Story. I really like
I mean,
Roxanne.
I haven't seen it in donkey's years, either of those films, but I did like them when I saw them.
Yeah, well, neither have I, neither did you say it, yeah.
It's a long time since I've seen any of those films, like, you know, but I do, I fucking love The Jerk. I think it's, and I love The Man with Two Brains, and I love the other one he did with Carl Reiner, Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid. Yeah, that's a, it's probably the lesser of the three of them, but, in a way, The Man with Two Brains might have been a better one to talk about, but I don't know. Last week I said The Jerk, and then I was stuck with it.
They're all authentic. Well, no, The Jerk was pretty good. Like, I enjoyed it. Like, but
isn't Kathleen Turner in The Man with Two Brains?
Is she? Is that
I think
horror?
So. Yeah,
yeah, it is horror. Somebody pretty fucking sexy. Yeah. Kathleen Turner's, yeah, amazing. She got naked there recently. Not probably 10 years ago now, on stage in London in The Graduate.
Oh really? Yeah.
Very.
Doesn't she have some kind of bone condition?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, she's not well.
She doesn't work that much, like, because
no,
she can't.
She's
like,
not well, yeah.
That's mental.
I hope she made her money in the 80s and.
Oh, she was in
90s.
Fucking everything. In
she was
the
big,
80s.
Yeah, she was big. She was very. She I think it was The Voice, really.
Yeah, yeah.
It just worked for her.
What Simpsons character was she? Was she the one who was designing the Simpsons? Lisa doll?
Oh, fucking hell, you might
that
be right
her,
about that,
it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was.
Not now.
Release me from your kung fu grip.
Kung fu grip. Not now, I'm too drunk.
Have you seen, there was a thing doing the rounds on the internet during the week where people were sharing photographs of Simpsons characters facing forward.
Yeah.
It looks fucking weird.
I've thought that before, though. Sometimes you do. Do you not catch them?
Sort yeah,
of, like,
there's some
during a TV show.
Pretty gnarly looking images of Simpsons characters facing forward.
I think they got the hang of it in the end.
What do you mean the end?
Well, eventually they got the hang of it.
I saw some episode the other day and I was like, I can't believe we're getting away with this. This is fucking awful. Like,
what was it?
I don't know. It was on, it's just, I saw a bit of something on Network 2. I was just like, this is fucking nonsense.
Yeah, maybe
there's no, like, they can't do emotional storylines anymore because they've done every emotional storyline with every character ever.
Yeah,
you know, they just can't, there's no, yeah, there's no stories left to be told with those characters,
and they've
it's
shot
so
themselves,
surfacy, like, you know,
they shot themselves in the foot a lot. Do you know what I did go looking for and I couldn't find? It wasn't on Google Play, it wasn't on Netflix. Okay, so I didn't look that hard. But it wasn't in either of those two places. I want to see that documentary, The Problem with Apu.
Oh, do you know what it was? It was a TV documentary. It's probably, you're probably not going to be able to find it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, unless someone stuck it up on, like, Potlocker or one of these
if
things.
If I really wanted to.
I think you probably could find it, but it's not, like, it's not going to be something you can buy because it was just on True TV. It wasn't
a,
you know.
That's a pity because I find that is an interesting question. It's conflicting, you know,
yeah,
to me.
Dana Gould's on that, who, I fucking love Dana Gould. Do you know Dana Gould?
No,
see? He's a Simpsons writer, but he was a stand-up as well. Might give me something to spot for next week, actually.
Okay.
But he was on it. So I think I don't really know what he said, but apparently he kind of gave a pretty good account of all the sort of criticisms they were getting for Apu being racist, which he just is. You know, I mean, he's a beloved character and everything, but it's, you know, can you imagine being an Indian kid at school in the States when The Simpsons was at its height and just being getting, you know, people saying that to you all the time?
Yeah, and that would be annoying. There's no doubt about that. But if Apu wasn't on the telly, would all Indian kids have strutted the streets confidently and without...
No, of course not. No, that's insane.
Yeah, no, but also, I mean, surely the answer to... I mean, Apu, as representations of non-white characters in beloved mainstream shows go, Apu is not a particularly bad...
But as the show went along, they kind of made him more of a character, but at the start he was the Indian shopkeeper.
Yeah, but that's true of every single character on The Simpsons.
Yeah, no, that's literally, true as well. Yeah.
Literally every character.
There was the evil billionaire.
Yeah.
There was the sarcastic teacher. Yeah. You know,
but and eventually they all kind of got their storylines and it fleshed them out and it broadened them. I don't know how I feel about it. I just think, like, what do you do? Like, are you only allowed to, you know, the only time, you know, from now on, the only work black actors will get who's in sequels to Black Panther, you know, if you want to show a person of color, they have to be a fucking incorruptible superhero. I mean, Apu had his foibles, but he wasn't...
I think it took a while for Apu to be any kind of character.
I don't accept that.
I think it... Well, I mean, that's all right. But I don't think it happened in season 1, 2, or even 3. Like, you know...
Okay, but who had it happen for in season 1, 2, and 3?
Well...
They were still doing very Simpsons family-centric episodes in those seasons.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
And then they kind of got...
Mr. Burns kind of, in season 2, got the episode... Where he ran talking for about election. And the artist one where they painted him naked. That was pretty early on.
Yeah, okay. But the election one, he was a cipher in. Burns was not. The election one was a piece of satire. Like, it didn't broaden your opinion of Mr. Burns. Like, in the way you go, oh, you know, actually, maybe he has a point.
Wasn't that a bit at the start where he was, like, super depressed and was hammered at he was drunk in the power plant late at night on his own? I'm not saying it made him, like, you know, super relatable, but there was a few moments in it where you were like...
Listen, if you're telling me that Apu was last on the list when they were handing out meaty, important story, character developing sort of storylines in The Simpsons, I simply don't accept that. I don't think that's true. I would be interested
to... We need to see an episode list.
We would need to see
an episode list. It's irrelevant what I think is true and what you think is true. There's an actual fact out there that we could look up.
What is the fact? I mean... Yeah, well, yeah, okay, but I don't think Apu was left significantly later than Chief Wiggum, or even Abe.
This Chief Wiggum probably still hasn't got one of those stories, to be fair.
He's gotten a couple of reasonable good ones where he lost the job.
Did you know that the only time they made any reference to Chief Wiggum being Ralph Wiggum's son is in that Valentine's episode? That was the first time that's ever mentioned, and it's 4 seasons in.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. But that's another one. That actually, making that connection, I think, was kind of key to broadening out both of those characters.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Seeing him as a father. It's like, what would he be like as a father? And then you're like, oh, okay.
Could be worse.
Yeah, it could be worse. Could be better, but it could be worse. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. I don't know how I feel about that. I feel like if I was at school with a black kid and I wanted to fucking barb them, I could find some way to turn Black Panther into a kind of racial jibe, like, and it's very empowering and it's a great industry moment and you've got all these sort of black actors working on it and playing these heroic characters and all the rest. I still think in the schoolyard you could hear a very sneerily intoned, "When are you joining the Avengers?" And okay. It wouldn't be... I don't think the answer is you need to control representations.
I think we need to find this documentary and do an episode on it.
I was looking for it. I really did.
It has to be up on...
Because I'm very conflicted.
Scum Share or whatever these things are called.
There, like, it's there, like, you know.
Daily Motion, who just seem to operate completely outside of the law, whatever those cats are getting up to.
Putin Locker. Anyway, The Jerk.
Oh, do you know the song that him and Bernadette Peters sing?
One of my favorite songs. I can play that. I love that.
Do you know who else does a version of it?
Josh Ritter.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You're ahead of the game. It was a B-side of something. It was on... It's a lovely song. And Lisa Hannigan does a version of it with someone.
Oh, I love her.
Yeah, Lisa Hannigan's amazing.
She is awesome sauce.
Yeah. But no, I really like The Jerk. I didn't see it until I was kind of... When I started to get interested in sort of 70s... comedy sort of hardcore when I started thinking about, you know, getting involved myself, and then I started doing it.
Steve Martin
then. Oh yeah, yeah, I started, like, I probably mentioned it before on this podcast, but there was an amazing fucking video rental place down the street from my apartment called the Chantala Movie House.
Okay.
And it was like High Fidelity for DVDs. Like, everything was alphabetized by director. Everything was fucking impossible to find. But they had an amazing selection, like, you know, so I, like, they had all the Woody Allen movies, all the fucking Steve Martin, anything you were looking for, really, like, you know, with fucking two grumpy bastards working behind the counter, like, but down there, I think that was when I rented out The Jerk from down there, and that was, like, I kind of think of it as a late night movie. I would watch these things obscenely late at night, because I'd fucking, you know, musician, didn't know where to be, really, in the morning, so... Sitting up till 5 and 6 in the morning watching films, like, you know.
It took me a while to get into it now. I will say that.
It's not a sort of. Oh, it doesn't have a narrative. It's just a series of kind of bits, and this is the bit where he works in the petrol station. Oh, now he's a millionaire. You know.
When I clicked that, I was like, "Oh, okay, all right." But it does. Like, there's a guy trying to kill him.
For no fucking reason. Other than he's in the. That I feel like Emmett Wallace has played that role in a lot of films.
He played the same role in Blood Simple.
He's brilliant in Blood Simple, but he's an absolute scumbag in Blood Simple. That. Yeah, it's a brilliant film.
Yeah, but I mean, like, quite early on in the film, he for no reason because he literally picks his name out of the phone book, decides he's going to kill Nathan.
Just an average bastard. Get all your that bad. Look at that bastard.
But then he comes back later on in the film, playing the exact same character. And he's like, and Steve Martin's like, are you going to try and kill me? Like, oh no, I was just going through a bad time.
I just quit smoking.
Yeah. It's like there's absolutely zero attempt at consistency or anything.
No, but that's fair enough because Steve Martin's act was kind of like that as well. Like, they were trying to, it was a Steve Martin showcase. There's no point in sticking him in, you know, Manhattan.
Except when he started getting stuck in stuff like Planes, Trains and Automobiles and Dirty Rotten Scoundrels and what have you, he was really good.
Well, this is after 10 years, I think, of his stand-up act and then, you know, probably another 7 or 8 years of doing these kind of films.
Mm.
And then he's like, all right, I'm not, you know, enough of the wild and crazy guy. You know, he's like, after that, he's like, well, I want to... do a thing where I'm actually acting and there's a story to the thing, like, and
when you discovered his, when you were doing your 70s stand-up research and you discovered Steve Martin, what did you think of the stand-up?
It's, you know what, it doesn't live on album very well because a lot of it was really visual, but there's some really funny stuff, like, you know, it's silly, like, it's silly, like,
I have to say it's not. It's all right. I remember watching one night a special, and I made it through. It wasn't even a special. I think it was like on Sky Arts or something. It was one of his concerts.
Yeah.
One of those big.
Got
ones
the banjo with the arrow through his head. That kind of shit. Yeah.
And I watched it the whole way through, and I got a laugh. But I can't say it ever really. I can't say I walked away from it thinking that man was a fucking genius.
Well, yeah. I mean, I know what you're saying, but it's like all things in hindsight. Like, you know, I think at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you know, like, I think for little spots on Merv Griffin and these kind of shows, like, you know, I think he was kind of gold, you know, because he'd come on and King Tut or whatever, like, and he'd be on for 5 minutes and he'd do something really dopey and fuck off, like, you know, and but there's bits in this film that are bits from his act, like the bit near the end of the film. I've got the clip here where he's going, I don't need anything except this chair. That's need anything except this chair and these. And he would do that. He would go through the audience and just start lifting stuff that's around the bar in the small bars he used to play. And I don't need anything except this. And he just go, I'll actually play the clip.
Play the clip
that we're talking about because it'll kind of illustrate what I'm saying. And I'm just gonna keep talking until I actually find the thing. Here we go.
This lamp. The ashtray. the solitaire and the remote control and the lamp, and that's all I need. And that's all I need, too. I don't need one other thing. Not one. I need this. The battle game and the chair and the remote control and the matches for sure. Whoa, what are you looking at? What do you think, I have some kind of a jerk or something?
So that's, if you can imagine, in that clip, he's got, for a start, he's got his trousers around his ankles, completely gold. And then he's in
with good value.
He would do that at his gigs, go through the audience and pick stuff off the tables. All I need is this glass and this chair. That's all I need. This glass and this chair and this box of cigarettes. That's all I need. I'm leaving. All I need. And then, you know, so on forth, you know. Yeah. I think he was basically the biggest comedy star in America at one point. Like, he got to the point where he said he couldn't do any new stuff because he was filling stadiums. Yeah. Can you imagine? Stadiums.
Michael, like, McIntyre.
Yeah, but
Michael, he's up there with the greats. Terrible. Like Michael McIntyre. I don't think Michael McIntyre is terrible.
I think
he got ahead of himself.
Yeah, but
to an extraordinary degree. Like,
I never liked him, but these dudes get to a point where, I don't know, they're just not, they're not funny. They're just like, you know,
I don't overly feel Steve Martin's stand up is very funny.
I think it is. I also think it's probably not the kind of thing you could do now. Also, the people he was mainly appealing to back then, particularly on TV, was kids.
Fair play, good point.
We were watching this last
but
night.
Danny, it couldn't have been. He was filling stadiums. They weren't kids.
But on TV and on records, okay. It was kids buying those records, you know, and watching him on TV with the arrows through his head. Yeah, but I mean, I was listening to Billy Connolly records when I was a kid, you know?
He was... Hang on, but Steve Martin's stand-up is way dirtier than Billy Connolly's.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
The first Billy Connolly record I had, was there was a huge story about a blow-up sex doll in it. So, I just give it a wee love bite and it farted and flew out the window.
I think he got fairly sleepy.
A lot of similarity. Actually, they're big mates, Billy Connolly and Steve Martin, because they're both banjo players.
I don't doubt it. And I don't doubt it, but I still... How much of that Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee did you watch?
Most of it.
I watched a select few of them now. It's on Netflix now, and I've started sort of picking... You know what I'm doing? I'm watching the ones I've already watched on his own.
Yeah,
website.
I did the same thing, yeah.
I'm not watching any new ones.
There's some of them I'm not that interested in. There's a few I'll get to. I really like the Larry David one, but that's shooting fish in a barrel for me. Where he's eating pancakes and he's just like, I don't know how people live like this.
I love the Alec Baldwin one.
I didn't rewatch that one, actually. I can't remember what even gets said on that.
He just comes across as a... Do you know what? He comes across basically Jack Donaghy-esque. Just... A bollocks, but luckily likable bollocks.
Lucky
you are likable as you are, because you are being a bollocks. but no, what I wanted to say, the Steve Martin one was very good, and he said something very interesting that maybe makes me forgive that comedy a wee bit more, or maybe I'd like to revisit it a wee bit. Because I remember him saying something like, look, this was the end of Watergate, this was the end of Vietnam. There was sort of political comedians, anything that wasn't being political, didn't have sort of, you know, anti-authoritarian hippie stances, people were just tired of it.
They were just tired.
And when I was doing what I didn't, it was like, I didn't plan it like that, but it had its moment. People were ready for somebody just to do something fucking silly.
But it's absolutely true.
And then I was thinking, he's probably right, like, fucking Star Wars essentially kind of made its money because of that as well. People just were sick of fucking...
But didn't the same thing kind of happen in British comedy in the 90s after the 80s of the anti-Thatcherite comedians and all that? Didn't things kind of get a bit dopier again in the 90s with the Fast Show and Father Ted and all this kind of stuff, like, you know?
Yeah, they were not as... Father Ted, despite it all, underneath it all, Father Ted... kind of did have a political heart, like.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I suppose, but.
Look, those two guys probably would say it didn't, but
I feel like you could put Ted and Dougal. It could be open all hours. They could be working in a shop. It would be the same show.
Would it have the same teeth?
No, but the teeth in Father Ted were always kind of imagined anyway. Those lads weren't making a point about priests. They were just looking for the setting, whether that's fucking the bar, the shop, the factory floor, whatever the fuck it is, like, you know.
I don't know that they weren't making a point. I don't think they were. It doesn't seem in their nature, maybe, but the fact that you make it about priests is a point in itself. Like, it's a kind of a statement.
Maybe, but they were living in Ireland, and they were probably thinking, well, priests hasn't really been done yet. People have hung about in shops and bars to death, like, you know, but...
I don't know, the priests hadn't really been done. What was the one that used to be on? It was an English one now. But I think it was a Catholic priest.
Well, the fact that you don't remember that well maybe says that it didn't have an awful lot of effect, you know.
Yeah. But also, man, you have, like, there's plenty of barbs in Father Ted if you want to go looking for them.
But aren't most of them kind of silly? Like, I remember... I've
heard about them cult Ted all dressing in black and saying our Lord's going to come back and judge us. That's us, Dougal. That's Catholicism.
Or the Jesuits have it all sewn up. He should have been Pope.
He should have
been. The Jesuits have it all stitched up. And then on the commentary for Father Ted, Graham Linehan said, I did no research into that. That's a fucking joke. I have no idea what the story
Jesuits,
is there.
Our current Pope is the first Jesuit Pope.
Really, yeah?
Yeah.
So the joke made no sense.
No. This is their first real attempt. But I remember listening to a podcast about Ignatius Loyola and the foundation of the Jesuit order. And their early missions.
Dan Carlin?
No. I think it might have been In Our Time. It might have been Melvin... what's his name? Melvin Bragg?
Melvin Bragg.
Yeah.
Is he anything to Billy?
Hmm.
Probably not.
Probably not, no.
That's a Hollywood film. I kind of want to see Scorsese's new one. You know, the one with Liam Neeson?
What is it called?
Andrew Garfield. It's Silence. People don't really like it. But
oh, I've no idea. I'm behind on everything this year.
I think it's set during that period of time. It's not necessarily about that, but I remember listening to that podcast and thinking, that's a fucking Hollywood film. There should be the fucking sort of international globetrotting priest spies. Like, they were, it was like, that's amazing. The shit they did, the shit the Jesuits did back, especially back in the early days, was nothing short of astonishing.
In what sense?
They infiltrated China, fucking Forbidden City China, whatever dynasty that was, China. They took Catholic missions everywhere and got always to the heart of power and always got it instated and protected by the people who could protect it. They fucking embedded in the fucking culture, learned the language, dressed like there's like... They got into the fucking emperor in China by passing themselves... That sounds ridiculous. They were fucking Portuguese or something. But passing themselves off as Chinese, like, and learning the languages. It was unbelievable what they got away with. I remember thinking, there is a fucking Hollywood film in this.
And Scorsese's gone and done it?
Well, no, it's not specifically about that. But it would be about just the era immediately after that in Japan.
Okay.
When they kind of did the expulsion in Japan.
When was the last time Scorsese... Like, I haven't seen a lot of them. When was the last time Scorsese made a film that you full on went, that was great?
The Aviator.
Is The Aviator good? I always consider that... Like, do you know the way there's these periods of Scorsese... Well, no, I haven't seen it. But you know the way there's these periods of Scorsese where he seems to drop off the map a little bit and he's made films that I've never seen, like... There's one called Bringing Out the Dead, and these, like, I'm always like, Jesus, I wonder what that's
people
even
like that. Like, that's supposed to be quite a
good
one.
Do you know
what
I always liked is actually After Hours. Have you ever seen that?
No.
That's a comedy he made in the early 80s, because
Scorsese
he had to.
Comedy.
Yeah, it's actually pretty good.
Like
I've already seen it once.
That,
like,
thinking.
Well, that's not even necessarily a comedy, that movie.
It's pretty funny in a lot of places. It's a bit depressing at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, look, a lot of comedy.
But he, I think After Hours was the thing... It might have even been after Raging Bull, where he was just like, he was spending too much money on these things and he was getting super unreliable.
Yeah.
And he couldn't get arrested. Like,
is that
know.
The height of his sort of cocaine addiction?
Oh, yeah, this is full on beard.
Okay.
Fucking white as a ghost.
Yeah, right, okay.
Fucking, you know, playing The Clash at fucking deafening volumes on the set, all that carry on.
Okay,
like, you know.
Very good.
So I think he had to go and sort of humble himself and do something like After Hours just to make money, like, you know, because people were like, oh, fuck him. and his fucking grandiose, you know, operas yeah. that he's doing, like, you know.
Yeah.
And but that's what, but that's,
that can bring out the best in you sometimes.
But that's the thing, like, he's a film, but that was the thing about Chris Scorsese, he's a filmmaker. Mm-hmm. So he went and made some films that might not be the ones that everyone's going to remember him for, but he got through it. And then, you know, you, people write you off and then you make Goodfellas.
Isn't
you
that
know?
What, isn't that what, isn't that why Spielberg did Raiders of the Lost Ark? Didn't he do, what was the one, his big flop? Maybe his
only
big flop. Yeah, 1948,
is it?
1942.
I think it's 1942 it's called.
Yeah, but it,
which is supposed to be, it's a, I think, is it the only comedy he's made, really?
I'm trying to think,
it's
supposed to
be an out and out comedy, and people say that, yeah, it's comedy made by a guy who has no idea how to make one, like, you know.
Seems like such a nice guy, though.
Yeah, but that doesn't really translate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. But then he made sort of Raiders of the Lost Ark. He said, we'll do it quick, we'll do it cheap, it'll be a fucking disposable sort of
was I think of it
story.
As being a big film. Was it made cheaply?
I don't, in my head it was, but it can't have been, can it? I must have that wrong.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he was thinking more along the lines of, well, this is a surefire, it's a big adventure film, we'll stick Han Solo in it, people will love it, like, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe it was more of a thing where they were thinking, well, this is a surefire hit, like, you know.
I love
still
the
never seen
Indiana
it.
Jones.
Really?
Never seen it. I don't think I've seen any of them all the way through.
Might make you watch it.
I might not like it.
I'm pretty sure. I don't think you'll hate it, though.
Like, well, I mean, isn't it one of those things that's hate-proof?
It kind of is, yeah.
You know, how are you going to, like, yeah.
It's like if anybody came to me and said, yeah, I didn't really like that Indiana Jones, I'd be like, well, why don't you fuck off? We obviously have nothing more to say to each other.
It was, I kind of feel like that about The Jerk, though, but obviously I'm wrong. You don't hate it, but you're not into it.
No, to be honest,
when we were talking about Inner Space last week, I kind of thought, well, what's my version of this, like?
And it's The Jerk.
And it kind of, The Jerk came to mind, yeah. Like, if I just want to, like, not think about anything and just lose myself in something that's just going to cheer me up, it is The Jerk, you know.
There's plenty funny about The Jerk. No, I really liked it. Like, I liked it well enough, like, you know. I saw it years ago. Years and years ago.
It's a weird film. It's got, apparently it's a riff on some kind of German existentialist novel or something. Like, I don't know. Like, it is based on something.
Okay.
Which is crazy. But that's, I think the
best
of these things.
But he's a very highbrow guy, isn't he?
Yeah, but I think sometimes the best of these things, like, you have to be smart enough to be that silly.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just, like, walk out in a big nose and big floppy shoes and go, blah, 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 and expect people to watch you for an hour and a half. Like, you know, you kind of, you need, like, that's, like, Monty Python is one of the silliest things on the planet. It was six very educated dudes behind it, like,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, it's like, yeah, I suppose it's like that.
Fucking,
or Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Yeah, yeah, I think you have to be really smart to be that silly.
Yeah, maybe so.
Because you need to know how to sort of conduct it, you know.
Yeah, maybe
it
so.
It can't just be full on just, like,
or
brainless.
Or you can get
you
know? Carl Reiner to direct and you're in a safe
pretty,
pair of hands. Like,
well, this was, I mean, Steve Martin knew nothing about me.
Well.
Yeah, he is very funny in it, yeah.
Mm.
It's, but he was, you know, was that the first, one of the first things he ever directed?
I don't know. No, he must have done.
I don't know much about
it. Like,
that is a Comedians in Cars worth watching, is the one with
Mel Brooks and
Carl
Reiner, yeah.
They only watch films that
Carl
have,
Reiner!
They, was it, they love watching films that have the line, somebody protect the president, or something like that. I can't remember exactly what it is now.
There's no shortage of them fucking films. No shortage of them at all. I can't believe you haven't seen The Aviator, actually.
I haven't seen The Aviator.
I thought you, because in my head you're a very big Scorsese fanboy.
No, I love Taxi Driver.
It's a very good film.
Which my wife informs me that women do not like very much. Which
really?
Is, yeah. Anytime I've tried to get her to watch Taxi Driver, she's been like, I've seen it. There's no fucking interest in seeing it again.
Really?
Yeah. And as a result, I haven't seen Taxi Driver in years now.
It's
whereas
really
I used to
film.
Watch it sort of regularly enough, like, you know.
It's a brilliant film.
It's one of the best
like
scores.
It. So women don't like Taxi Driver?
Well, look, again, blanket statement, but I remember my cat telling me, it's not a film
like,
women enjoy watching.
Well, it's a tough...
Well, you do have a sort of a teenage prostitute in it, so fair enough.
You definitely do. It is kind of, it's not an easy watch necessarily.
No.
But then, did you ever see that We Need to Talk About Kevin?
Yeah, yeah, that's a good movie.
It is. Would you watch it again?
If you wanted to swap it, yeah.
Dan, I watched that once and I thought, okay, now that was genuinely brilliant. I never to the day I die, want to have to sit through that again.
Yeah, yeah, I felt that about Raging Bull.
Yeah, Raging Bull is another tough one.
Taxi Driver kind of, I think Taxi Driver kind of works almost as a horror movie. You know, where you can kind of watch it in that sense. You know, I think it might even be the score. The score is semi-based on the score of like Frankenstein and these kind of things. Like, you know,
it's ominous, isn't it?
Yeah. Whereas Raging Bull, because it's a biopic, you're like, oh, you know.
I suppose they then, that films like that, or The French Connection, or stuff like that.
That's a film I've never seen.
It's good.
We should retitle this, Shit I Haven't Seen.
Yeah, well look, it's hard to keep on top of everything, like, you know.
Can't be everywhere.
But it can't be everywhere. Here lies Danny O'Hanlon. He couldn't be anywhere. He couldn't be everywhere.
Couldn't be everywhere.
But that is what this shit, Steve Martin's shit, was kind of an antidote to.
Yeah, well, it would have been
absolute grimness.
What was there, a year between Taxi Driver and The Jerk?
Very similar, I would say. Yeah,
he would have been performing at the same time, you know.
Yeah.
He went out with Linda Ronstadt,
the singer.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because he was part of that sort of Laurel Canyon. He performed a lot at the Troubadour, which is where the Eagles and all these people would have got their start. Like, you know, so he was kind of in the mix there in the sort of Laurel Canyon, fucking cocaine cowboy scene. You know, so his book is really good. If you haven't read it, he wrote a book about his few years as a stand-up. It's very good.
Says that.
It's got some really good advice for people who want to perform or do art or whatever. Like, you know,
like me, natural born performers. Like,
you're in a play next month or something, aren't you?
Oh, I am. Yeah, from the 25th of April, listeners. If you're in Dundalk town, come see God of Carnage.
I was trying to think of the name of it the other day, and I couldn't remember it. God of Carnage.
They made a film of that, but please do not swap it if you're going to swap it before the play.
Well, I mean, even if I did swap it, you could say, fuck off, I'm not watching that. You're allowed to do it. I played that chip, you're allowed to play it
too. Yeah, you have played it. No, I pride myself in not having played that chip. I'm going to keep it for
a rainy day.
When you swap, we need to talk about Kevin.
Or like just fucking...
I can't.
I want you to listen to this 6-album series of the... The Junk Show tour Neil Young did in 2006.
Good old Neil Young.
But,
Rose and get on board.
Oh, yeah, go. That's Neil Diamond, yeah.
They're different Neils.
Oh, I love my Rosie child. She's the one. I can't remember it.
You got the something keeps me.
Such a stupid song when you think about it. And it's in D. And I had to learn it for a wedding. It's in D. And then there's a key change up to D sharp. And you're like strumming away in D for most of the song. And then you're like, oh, for fuck's sake, bar chords now, Neil, really?
Isn't that the one where it was...
For this nothing song. I mean, look.
It's a sing-along.
Yeah, but like, so's fucking... Generation, you know, dance. So's the fucking... So's Aaron, what's
the
not
chicken a chicken dance.
Yeah, it's not even got any words in it to sing along, like, you know.
Classic.
We don't need fucking another fucking verse of Cracklin' Rosie with a key change. Fuck off.
But... The reason that's in my head is it came up. I need to think about this now before I tell this story, because this is one of them names will have to be changed to protect identities.
Well, do you want me to play a clip of The Jerk and you can think of it while it's on?
Yeah, play a clip of The Jerk.
So this is the last clip I have. It's them at a restaurant. It's not even the fucking best clip going, but it'll give you time to think about your story.
Goodly Stuffington.
Salad. Would Monsieur care for another bottle of the Chateau Latour?
Yes, but no more 1966. Let's splurge. Bring us some fresh wine. The freshest you've got this year's. No more of this old stuff.
Oui, monsieur.
He doesn't realize he's dealing with sophisticated people here. Marie, now just stay calm. Stay calm. Just don't look down. Don't look down. Look up. Just keep your eyes up and keep them that way, okay? Waiter? There are snails on her plate. Now get them out of here before she sees them. Look away. Just look away and keep your eyes that way. You would think at a fancy restaurant like this, at these prices, you would be able to keep the snails off the food. There's so many snails in there, you can't even see the food. Now take them away and bring me those melted cheese sandwich appetizers you talked me out of.
Oui, monsieur.
You believe this? First they didn't have the bamboo umbrellas for the wine, and now snails on the food. Two boobs. That's what he takes us for.
So that was the last clip I have from The Jerk.
Yeah, and I've decided I'm not going to tell that story.
Fair enough. I thought I'd give you some time to think.
Turns out we just chatted through the clip. I'm sorry.
Listen. But so the Jerk, look, there's a lot to like in the Jerk. It is very funny a lot of the time.
The thing is, like, it is mostly based on what he was like on stage. So mm-hmm.
So there's no consistency in it.
Exactly, there's no consistency. It's, you know...
There's no even real story to speak of.
No, there's no... No, when he leaves home and he goes home.
Yeah.
That's about it. He meets... he initially starts off with, like, going out with a circus motorbike death artist, whatever the fuck they're called. Yeah,
That was pretty funny.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he meets a much nicer trumpet player.
Yeah.
And,
that's very funny when she, when they're playing that song and she just picks up the trumpet out of nowhere. I just thought that was hilarious. We played it, I was in the radio station this morning and...
Did you play it?
We played this song just because it was, you know, in my head.
Aww. It's a lovely song.
But it goes a little bit quiet.
It's a really lovely song. I love that song.
Oh, it's great, yeah. But we had it on, and the song goes a little bit quiet because I played it off YouTube, off the actual performance in the film, and it goes kind of quiet, and then she kind of goes, you know, like, fucking Paddy, who was doing the desk, nearly jumped out of his skin. It was up kind of loud anyway, and he wasn't really expecting it, and he was like, oh, fucking Jesus, what's that? You know?
It is a funny film. It's as good an
encapsulation of Steve Martin's humor as anything. I think it's my favorite Steve Martin thing, maybe outside of The Man with Two Brains. I should have picked The Man with Two Brains. I feel like there's probably more to talk about there.
I feel like I've seen that more recently as well.
It's a fucking funny movie.
When I say more recently though, it's like maybe it must be 10 years anyway.
But I don't... Yeah, I'm running out of things to say about it now, but it is one of my favourite movies. It'd be in my top 20 anyway, like, you know.
Really?
Yeah, I love The Jerk. Okay, it's a great film.
It's nowhere near that for me. Having said that, I do... Like I say, I consider myself a Steve Martin fan. Dirty Rotten Scoundrels would probably be in my top 20 anyway.
Well, it seems like you're a Steve Martin fan the further he gets away from his stand-up persona.
The things that made him distinctively Steve Martin.
Yeah. He's got that. One of his funniest jokes is always like, he's on stage and he goes, yeah, you know, my girlfriend has the best pussy, blah, blah, blah. And the audience start laughing and he's
telling me that's
mock outrage.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then he goes, oh, come on now. You people are filthy. That's not what I meant. Come on now. And then he goes, that cat was the best fuck I ever had.
Are you not telling me that that's not a bit more risque than
I mean, family? Yeah, of course it is. But I'm on about the people that made him famous were kids buying his albums.
I don't.
It is risque.
I don't accept that. I don't think that's true.
I think it is true. I think it's...
No, I don't.
Well, I mean, that's fair enough. Obviously they weren't going to his gigs.
He was packing... Yeah, exactly. And yet he was still packing out stadiums.
Yeah, but this was well into his career now. This was after a few albums had come out. Like, you know... Kids put things in the charts. Adults don't put music or movies in the charts. Like, but they don't. They never have.
The kids don't even anymore.
Maybe there was a brief point in the 80s where there was more adult-oriented music that was going in the charts. Like, were we talking about this before where I was talking about the song... myself and Kat were watching... We were over at my mom's house one night and she had Magic TV or whatever the fuck it's called on one of these way-down-the-dial music stations... And that song came on, I miss you like crazy, I miss you like crazy. Do you know that song?
No.
It's a song, it's like a Whitney Houston style singer, I don't know who she is, like, but it was a big hit in the 80s, and we were kind of talking, saying, that's the kind of song you don't really hear anymore. That's like a grown woman singing about her husband working, being away from home for whatever reason, working or whatever. And it's not like a teeny bopper version of that. It's a grown woman. It looks like she's fucking 35 or something, or 40, singing this song, and you're like, you just don't hear those kind of songs anymore that are like adult people singing about adult things.
Did you hear them back then?
Well, yeah, I think you did. You had care how you get here. Get here if you care.
Is that adult?
Of course. Yeah, but like, you don't think like that when you're in your 20s. You don't like, oh, I'll not see you tonight. No worries.
Get here if you can.
Like, what's he doing to get there? Like, I mean, doesn't that strike you as quite an adult song?
No, not at all.
Well, you're not listening right.
The 80s were all fucking...
I think there was a lot of songs in the 80s. The songs I don't necessarily like now, mind you. Even like something like sexual healing, that's not for people in their 20s.
Oh,
like
young people, yes, are. It is.
No, it's not. That's Dan. That's the sound of your parents making up.
No, Dan, sexual healing.
Sexual healing. Marvin Gaye was in his 40s when he put that out.
Sexual I'm telling healing.
You, that's
sexual
they're all adults.
If you're
songs.
In your 30s and you go, you turn to someone and you say, oh, let's try a little sexual healing, shall we? She has every right to say it. Fuck off!
Yeah, but you're talking about 20 years, 30 years after the fact. But at the time, the people who were buying records were people who had fucking record players built into drinks cabinets. And that's where they were listening to it with their friends over.
I will
different
say...
Different times, man.
It was
you.
Different times. But the 80s was a weirdly infantilized time.
In some ways, but in some ways it wasn't. I think now is way more infantilized.
I'm not sure that's true.
Well, we're all wrong sometimes.
I don't know. Yeah, look, maybe. Well, I haven't thought it through, like, so I don't know. But I feel
like in the 80s there was these singers. There was people like Tina Turner, Marvin Gaye, the lady what sang I Miss You Like Crazy, the lady what sang I Don't Care How You Get Here. Whoever the fuck these people are. I feel like they were at, look,
I Hear How You Can.
Whatever you may think of them as songs or whatever, I feel like they were adult. I feel like, yeah, but that was the return of the youth. All this stuff is mid-80s. I think you have Soft Cell and Human League and all this stuff. That's like punk. See, all this stuff moves in cycles. That's Human League and...
Sorry.
Human League and Soft Cell are punk. Whereas fucking, like...
Are they?
Yeah. It's fucking... One person on their own with a fucking synthesizer making records. There's nothing more punk than that. It's okay. Just like... That was like... In a way, it's more punk than punk. Because you didn't even need other people to do it. Like, you know.
Alright.
But, like, the Pet Shop Boys and all that came along at that time. Like, you know. But before that, it was... It was like movies had forgotten, or not movies, popular music had forgotten about the youth at that point, because it was all songs aimed at adults, because adults were the ones buying tapes and records. And then you had the Soft Cell, and you had the Human League, and this kind of stuff. Unless you're some weirdo who was into like fucking Sonic Youth or something. Then we're talking about popular culture.
It is.
Yeah, you had like Soft Cell, fucking all these bands, the other
Human
ones,
League.
Like Human League, these kind of synth pop bands. Who then were making songs, Depeche Mode, who were making songs for young people again. Like, what's Depeche, like, I just can't get enough, I just can't, like, that's like, you know, that's a much less adult song than I Don't Care How You Get Here. It's sexual healing, any of these two.
What makes I Don't Care How You Get Here an adult
song? Because she's worried. That young people don't worry. That's a song, a worried woman going, where the fuck are you? You said you were going to be here at 10 o'clock.
I never interpreted that as worried.
Well, that was my interpretation of it anyway.
All right.
That's the, like, she's like, you can reach me by aeroplane, you can reach me by steamboat, whatever the fuck the rest of it is. Like, I feel like that's a worried person going, where the fuck are you? Like, you're never this late coming home from work. Where are you?
Okay, that is
that's
a weird interpretation of
Well,
that
I mean,
song.
I don't mean literally coming home from work, but that's how I think of that song.
That's weird.
It's not that weird. How is it weird?
Because that song came out in the context of I'm your lady. It came out in the context
of
bombastic,
yes,
80s,
okay,
ballads.
I am your lady, and you were my what? Man. Not boy, man.
And they always said, but Spider-Man, look, was a boy.
Yeah, but no one's... See, you can't bring it back to superheroes if we're talking about adults.
No, hang on. You absolutely can.
Well, now you can.
No, you absolutely can. Because you can't... I think your interpretation of Get Here How You Can is completely stripping it of the context of those big, soupy, over-the-top 80s ballads that it exists in.
Yeah, but...
Those are not songs about people waiting at home. The dinner's going cold in the oven.
No, it is.
They are
they absolutely
huge,
are.
Huge, bombastic songs.
No.
They're not!
Yeah, no, they're bombastic in sound, but they come from adult concerns, those songs.
Because I am your lady.
Yeah.
And the steak's getting tough in the oven.
I think if we spoke to these singers and these writers about that stuff, they would say that I was right. Or closer to being right.
Oh, I have no doubt they would. Because those people have been floating down the river looking for the fucking log of legitimacy to hang on to for 30 years.
I'll
you know what? I like
fucking I Am Your Lady. I like Get Here How You Can. I fucking like Lady in Red. I don't mind that genre, but it's not a serious fucking genre.
I think it is. I think there's more going on there than anyone gives it credit for. I'm not the man to fucking revive it, but I'm telling you, there's more going on there than meets the eye.
Isn't it ironic that I'm more likely to revive it than you? And I'll hate myself for it every day. Lady in Red.
Even that, like, that's like...
He's dancing with me.
That's not two people bumping into each other in a nightclub. That's a man and his wife going to an expensive restaurant and dancing at the
Never
end.
Never seen you looking as lovely as you do tonight.
Yeah.
Never seen you shine so bright.
Never seen you looking as lovely as you do tonight. History. Implied history.
There's an implied history. Never seen so many men ask you if you wanted to dance.
There's a book to be
looking
written
Looking for a little romance. Given half the chance. And I've never seen that dress you're wearing. Oh, how the highlights in your hair.
If there's no... He says...
funny enough.
There's nobody here. It's just you and me. What are they dancing to?
Oh, well, I think he's suggesting, Danny. You're bringing this to a very literal place that I don't think those songs existed in.
I think they did. But everything fucking starts... It might end up being this big bombastic thing, but you got to think about the fucking seed.
Anyway. I just reminded myself of something that happened to me in Crane Lane in Cork. Right.
Go for it. Do you want to tell this story?
Yeah, this is a story I can tell because I'm not incriminating anybody else. But I was in Crane Lane in Cork.
I think I've been in Crane Lane. It's a pretty cool place.
It's amazing. There's like a venue at the back and like a DJ at the front and a proper pub. It's like all things to all men.
I kind of miss... We used to go to Cork all the time to do stand-up. And yeah, we would go to Crane Lane afterwards.
We should go to Cork. We'd go to Cork. Pair of us. Crane Lane.
For no other reason than just like we said we would.
Yeah, why not?
What would we do in Crane Lane, though? You know right well that I'm the worst wingman going.
That's okay. Because of this experience, this tells me something about Crane Lane.
Tell the listeners about Crane Lane.
The Crane Lane is a fantastic wee pub in Cork. I don't know if it's fucking still there. It has to be. It's amazing.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is.
There's a proper wee bar area, and then the lane itself, which is covered over, but you can go out and you can stand around and have your drink there. It's
the smoking area as well, isn't
it? It's the smoking area as well. And then
we are talking about the same place.
The night I was there was like a venue down the back that had like this metal band in it, which really wasn't for me. But then there's another side room which had this guy playing sort of funk, sort of 70s soul and funk.
Is this the guy you requested
across 110th Street?
Yeah,
never played it. Oh, have I told you the story before?
I didn't just guess that. Like, you know, but why did I interrupt you? Maybe you hadn't told it on the podcast.
I felt very self-conscious then, and I was like, oh shit, maybe that's not a cool song. Like, because this was he was a DJ, but he was a DJ with vinyl. He had vinyl and turntables,
fuck
right?
Those guys. Like,
well, look, anyway.
Look, nothing wrong with vinyl. I love me vinyl, but if it's usually, can you imagine hawking big boxes of it around?
Oh, it was
to a
crazy.
DJ?
He'd be like, he'd be playing, wanted something to be playing, and he'd be for fiddling with a box of fucking vinyl and putting the next one. But anyway, he was playing all quite cool songs, like,
yeah,
you know.
But across 110th Street, it's Bobby Womack.
Bobby Womack.
But that's absolutely. Like, look, it is another one of those songs that Tarantino has kind of made a classic again.
What was it in?
It's in the intro to Jackie Brown.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Maybe that's where I know it from.
Brother of five. Doing what I can do to survive. I ain't saying what I did was right. I can't remember. Living in the ghetto is a day-to-day fight. Brilliant song, actually.
That's a brilliant song, isn't it? Because when I asked him and he was like, all right. And then he never played it. I was like, oh shit, maybe he knows I'm not proper.
But it's not like he went up and asked for Wild Cherry, play that funky music, White Boy or something. Like, you know, that's...
Betcha I could have got that played.
That's pretty... Like, was he being too esoteric to play across 110th Street?
I didn't recognize a lot. I was enjoying the music, but I didn't recognize a lot of it. Like, when James Brown came on, I would be like, I know that one.
Well, that's like, yeah. But Bobby Womack would be a, you know...
I didn't think it was
cooler choice than James Brown, like, you know.
Yeah, but
if you want, you know, if you were thinking about it in those terms of getting the respect of a dickhead, then Bobby Womack is more the way to go than James Brown.
I wasn't thinking in those terms until I thought I'd lost the respect of a dickhead. Then suddenly I was like, oh, I should have been thinking in those terms.
I lost the respect of a dickhead I never wanted.
But anyway, he said he'd play me across 110th Street and he never did. But
great tune. Fucking love that song.
Oh, it's brilliant. I was thinking, is it funk?
Maybe I'm a dickhead. Funk, yeah, it is. It's pretty funky, it? Yeah. It is. It's like, yeah. Oh, it is, yeah.
I love
those strings. Bam, 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 bam. Oh, and it's a, like, it is, you know, in a different guys, it could be a ballad, but it's also got the beat going through the whole thing. Like, it's like, I was the first brother of five. That beat's kind of pumping through the whole thing. You could dance to it. It's got those kind of funk strings on it. I have the soundtrack to Jackie Brown on vinyl, so I listen to that song quite a bit.
You could have played it for me then.
Yeah. But on the naffest version of it, like, you know.
But look, anyway, that's not what put in mind was Lady in Red. Never seen so many men ask if you wanted to dance. I was dancing.
So it's not just him and her. There's other men asking her to dance.
I was dancing with this one. And she was all over. Now, she was with a couple of lads, and she was game for it. Like, she was out for the night, like.
Okay.
And I sort of started dancing with her for a while, and then I thought, chances
you
are...
You dance like Adam West. Those few moves he did there.
I told you. Somebody told me that they liked my silly dancing.
Well, I've never seen you properly dance, but just in your moves that you're doing.
I am sitting down, so there's a certain... there's a certain handicap there.
Okay. But what was...
But I was sort of dancing. I was like, okay, right, I've seen her dancing with like two or three different guys. Probably I'm not going to be the fucking number that the ball stops hopping in, but fuck it. So I was dancing away, and she was kind of going, she'd go over to another guy, and I thought, oh, that's all right. But then she came back to me. And I was like, oh, this is fucking going on. This is actually, she keeps coming back. And then it was kind of me and him and me and him and me and him. She was bouncing back and forth with. And I sort of stepped back a wee bit. I'm like, what's going on here now?
Was she trying to make him jealous?
It was her husband. And I don't think... Well, the reason I say that is they left together and got a taxi away. And my impression was she was out trying to whip up a...
A third?
A third. Now, I don't know how... I accept I had been drinking and I was on high dough. I was dancing to 70s funk. I was having a great time. And I was... So maybe my interpretation of what happened that night was not... But it didn't seem like this was a jealousy play, because she had been kind of going to other guys and going back to him, and he wasn't... I think she had been trying to whip up a third.
How much... Let's just say it's a money thing. How much would you have to get paid to engage in that?
To be a third?
Or is there enough money in the world for you to engage with a man and lady couple?
Who's asking me?
I don't know. Well, the couple that were there that night.
Oh no, fair bit. They'd have to make it one way. I mean, she was all right, but he was, you know, she'd settled.
Okay, well, let's say. Oh no, I'm. That's a fucking.
I'll tell you. I found out last week. Did I talk about this last week? That Ryan Gosling and Eva Mendes are married.
No, I don't think you did talk. Who's Eva Mendes?
Eva Mendes from fucking Training Day and the other guys.
I haven't seen either of those.
Oh, I know what else.
Is she in... I think she's in Larry David's movie.
It's very possible.
In Clear... What the fuck is it called? Clear History?
I don't know.
Where Larry David is a guy who... Why does he lose his job? He fucking invents something crazy and then gets fired. At the start of the film, he's got a huge beard. It's kind of funny. I'd need to see it again. I can't remember.
Is she the love interest for him?
No, Oh, yeah, good. I can't. I really don't remember.
They told me
John Hamm is in it, and what's her face from Almost Famous is in it.
Kate Hudson. Kate Hudson and Eva Mendes. Fucking Jesus. It was weird how it hit me, like, because like who was telling me? It was Sinead at work was telling me, and I was like, what the fuck? She was like, yeah, they've been married this age. I think they have kids. What the. Fuck! I mean, it's like, what is the point? What's the point in any other couple if Ryan Gosling and Eva Mendes are happily married with kids?
Well, I mean, they can't keep the whole planet going, so... Who was the couple I heard about
they
recently?
They could fucking try, like...
Jordan Peele, and who made Get Out, is married to Chelsea Peretti.
Who's Chelsea Peretti?
She is Gina in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, but she's a stand-up comedian.
Oh,
They're
yeah,
married.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
a cool couple.
Yeah, but it's not about being cool. That doesn't fill me with fucking despair the way fucking Ryan Gosling and Eva Mendes does.
We never meet either of those people or any of their offspring or people they know, or then it doesn't affect us.
Can you imagine what their offspring look like? They're just the prettiest children
like ourselves.
Who have ever... No! They're a totally different fucking thing.
Species.
I'm barely the same species as anybody who came out of the pairing of fucking Ryan Gosling and Eva Mendes.
Ryan Gosling.
What is the fucking point of me
going
through?
I've never enjoyed him in anything. Do you know that?
Oh, fuck off.
I don't think so.
I really
like
him. I think he's really good.
Him in.
Crazy Stupid Love.
Oh yeah, yeah, he's good in that.
He is good in
that. I thought that was Ryan Reynolds. Fuck, it was no. Ryan somebody.
No, no, I like him.
He's one of these Ryans they have now.
He's in a lot of good stuff. He's in The Nice Guys. That's brilliant.
We watched a few minutes of that and put it off, actually. It was my fault as well. We were watching a bit of it.
Don't fucking doubt it.
I was just like going, I don't care what happens to either of these two dickheads. Like, and then Kat was like, yeah, you know what, if I was on my own I'd watch the rest of it, but I'm not that attached to it, so we just put it off.
I loved that film. Poor Brian Kelly wanted was comparing it, I remember, to War on Everyone or War on Everything.
Oh, you're asking the wrong man. I'm the last person in the world who should be doing this podcast.
I like what I like,
and that's it.
If that's true, I am the second last. Why is anybody listening, like?
I don't know. No matter what, any comparisons you try to bring to anything, I just go, I haven't seen that. I don't know anything about that.
Listen, it really depressed me. It briefly, right? I'm not in the fucking throes right now, but it did depress me when I discovered that. I was like, really?
There's got to be more couples
and
like that.
And then people were like, oh yeah, right, because that's ruined your chances with Eva, hasn't it? And I was like, it's not about that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, like, if they are a couple, what is the point in any other couple?
Yeah, what chance does an O'Hanlon have against one of them?
The very, very fucking best I can be is second now. If I married the most gorgeous woman in the world, left.
After Eva Mendes.
Me.
You can't even picture her, do you know that?
Oh, fuck off, she was in The Spirit.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, it's shit, don't watch it.
Is that the Samuel L. Jackson thing?
Yeah, the one and only film that I have ever in my life got up out of the cinema and walked out of.
I love walking out of films.
I know, I've never done it before.
It's just
or
like
since.
You get given the gift of time. You're just like, oh, I don't have to watch this.
I've basically time travelled. Listen, I didn't have to time travel for The Jerk. The Jerk was wonderful. Oh, fuck! Yeah, we're well in here.
Oh, we've plenty of time to.
Oh, fuck off! I'm going to mount a defense now.
Well, let's jump on.
Well, no. What about The Jerk?
Oh well, it's one of my all-time favorite movies. I love The Jerk. I love how silly it is. Maybe some questionable ethnic stereotypes in it when you look back on it now. But
it definitely is. But one of the funniest scenes is. He was born a poor black child. He's raised by this black family in Mississippi.
And they eventually have to tell him that he's not black. And he goes, you mean I'm going to stay this color?
There's some great lines like that. Look,
when we were watching that, Kat kind of said to me, like, is he supposed to be a kid or what the fuck? And I was like, I don't know. What does it matter?
But it's like, there is this really sort of cliched... sort of southern rootsy music thing that they all sit on the porch and play
music.
The
Coen brothers do that, so...
That's true, but he's shit at it. He has no rhythm. He can't dance with all the rest of his
family.
Until he hears...
white
music. Like, yeah. Oh my God. It was, you know...
I think even that's a joke from his stand-up.
Oh, I know. That struck me as a very Steve Martin joke.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I think you would be... very hard not to call it racist.
No, I don't think it is racist, but it's just got a few things in it now that you might be like, even doesn't a bunch of Mexican dudes pull up to rob the gas station at one point?
Yeah.
He tries to keep them. You've won a free oven mitt. Wait here.
Yeah.
And he ties the car to the front of a church, and then they drive away with a church dragging down the street behind them. So funny. Anyway,
but it is. It's an extremely silly film, but yeah. I think you would have to have a heart of stone for it not eventually to penetrate. I do, as you know, have a heart of stone.
I think it,
and still it penetrated.
So
it's
Niall,
worth the watch.
It absolutely is worth the watch.
Do you not feel that kind of? Oh, go on.
What?
No, I'll come back to it for Joe.
Okay, fair enough.
It'll come up with Joe as well.
You got me to watch stand-up special from relatively recently, because he mentions Trump, doesn't he? So,
yeah, so it's probably about a year or 18 months old, maybe.
Something like that. He's in the office a year. So Joe Rogan, best known to most people, I think, for his podcast.
Best known to me through the podcast. Yeah. This is the first time I ever listened to any of his stand-up.
Similar thing for me with Marc Maron. Listening to his podcast made me want to go and check out his stand-up.
To what extent is Marc Maron's podcast persona representative of Marc Maron's stand-up persona?
I don't know. I think it got more like his podcast persona as he went on. I think he was kind of... It would actually be worth swapping, actually. Marc Maron's last stand-up album before the podcast really took off is an interesting thing to hear, because he's a beaten man. He's just like, I have nothing. I'm just
he's fucking, kind of, you know, a beaten man on the podcast, isn't he?
He was, but now, I mean, he is in a Netflix show with Alison Brie from Mad Men, like, and he's got fucking umpteen specials since then. He's been in films. Like,
you know who you don't hear about much anymore?
Who?
Christina Hendricks.
From Mad Men?
Hmm.
It's true, actually. Yeah, what's she up to?
Yeah, what's she been doing?
I don't know. I never really watched Mad Men.
I think she is spectacularly beautiful.
It's very few people would argue with that.
But she genuinely is, like...
She's in Firefly, isn't she? Isn't she Malcolm's wife in Firefly? That's one of the better episodes of Firefly. Bridget or whatever,
But anyway, sorry, yeah, that's beside the point.
Shouldn't we... I'm conscious now that we're going to shortchange poor old Joseph.
Joseph Rogan. Comedian, one of the Rogans.
Public speaker, comedian.
He's best known for his podcast. I knew him through the podcast. I found his persona doing stand-up very different.
His fucking lengthy podcast.
Yes, they're very lengthy. But I will say this. I thoroughly enjoyed his stand-up. Did you?
No.
You're a prick. I'll tell you, I'm going to play now for our audience the bit of his stand-up that made me think, yeah, I like this.
Go for it.
So while this is all happening, these dolphins just show up. And if you've ever been around wild dolphins, they're very trippy. It's very different than you expect. Because they look at you. They like check you out. They like pop out of the water and they like look at you. They're like a person, not like a fucking deer or woodchuck. They look at you like another person. Granted, I was so high I thought I was gonna die. But I'm making eye contact with these dolphins, and I start thinking, how smart are these fucking things? Because we're fishing. Dolphins eat fish, but you never catch dolphins. Ever. No one has ever gone fishing and accidentally caught a dolphin. And all I could think of while these dolphins are like hopping through the water and looking at us and shit, I was thinking, if people lived in the water, you fucking catch them all day. They wouldn't even have to live in the water if cheeseburgers just floated down Geary Street. At least once a week, a guy would be like, I'm taking a chance. And you see him getting yanked up through the clouds. Fuck, we lost Billy. The bottom of his sneakers and a puff of cloud. You don't catch dolphins on fish hooks, man. That's weird.
Is that not funny, Dan?
It is, but I don't like Joe Rogan, the man, very much. There's this new breed of... And Kevin Smith's guilt. Poor old Kev.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Isn't that mental?
But I feel like he's one of these guys now not that... mental. No, it's completely predictable.
Fergal and work told me about it. Was it Tuesday morning? I was like, yeah.
Did it shock anybody? Go. Like, you know...
He's a big fat man.
Yeah. But a lovable rogue.
Oh, I like him. Like, I like him very much.
I like him more than I like his stuff. Although I did like a lot of his early stuff, like, you know.
His early stuff was very good. Tusk was very good. Red State was very good.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
He's not a bad hit, Red.
No, that's true, yeah. But I was watching one of the snow days. I forget which one it was. I woke up early. I woke up around 8 o'clock. Cat was still asleep. So I fucking... got my phone stuck on the headphones and I watched the Joe Rogan special and
with Kevin Smith?
What? No, I watched this special that we're talking about.
Oh right, sorry, yeah.
But Kevin Smith just came up, but I watched the Joe Rogan special that we're talking about.
Yes, Triggered is the name of the special.
I didn't really laugh very much, and afterwards I watched, but I was saying it to Kat, I was like, she was going, oh, what were you watching? And I was going, I was watching that Joe Rogan special and Niall asked me to watch it. I didn't really laugh at it. And she was like, I heard you laughing at something. And she was right. But after I watched the Joe Rogan special, I watched a documentary about REM and I was laughing at something Michael Stipe said.
So Michael fucking Stipe can make you laugh and Joe Rogan can't.
Yeah.
That was that not funny, the dolphins?
It's not that it's not a funny bit, but... I don't like it. I don't like Joe Rogan. I don't like him. And I have to...
What is it about him?
In a way, I have to like somebody, or at least respect them, to find them funny.
Do you not respect him?
No.
Why?
Because he's one of these fucking dudes that's always talking about weed, and I've kind of had enough of those people, you know.
He does talk a lot about weed, yeah.
I've just, it's enough already. Like, you know, like you're a father of three. Fucking stop getting so stoned.
Just determined to suck all the joy out of life, aren't you, Hannah?
That's just an opinion. Look, he actually did have some really funny bits. And what was his line about the election? He said, look at our choices. We've got an old lady that's mad at her husband for a blowjob he got in the 90s, yeah. An old man who hates money, and a millionaire with plastic hair. You know, like, yeah. It's not like he doesn't have good lines, but...
How is that guy going to do anything for environmental issues when every time he has to do his hair, there's a new hole in the ozone layer and a polar bear catches fire?
It's not like he doesn't have good stuff, but I just don't have, as a man, I don't have an awful lot of time for him.
What is it that you dislike about him?
I don't know. I heard things about him before I watched this podcast, and soured me. You know?
I keep hearing things about him. I came to his podcast accidentally, right? Literally accidentally. And when I did my Googling, I heard
him on WTF before. He started his own podcast. I thought he was an arsehole. But anyway, go ahead.
In what respect? Why do you...
Because he was going on about... I don't know. He was going on about things being authentic and this and that and the other and artistic integrity and all this kind of shit. And you were just like, aren't you the fucking dickhead from Fear Factor? Like, you know, there was a lot of that. It was just... He came across as a bit of a hypocrite. Like, you know?
I've never watched Fear Factor. Does he, like, set fire to chimpanzees or something?
No, but it's a dumb show where people, you know... Okay, I don't really know the show either. But I think Kat's aunt or something was on it. Or cousin or something. It was a thing where people would be like, do you want to eat a big load of scorpions? We'll film you. And you do the thing you're most afraid of. Like, it's one of these fucking things.
I misunderstood what that show was then.
It's also like, there's like, it's almost a bit like Gladiators.
You also have
like,
to make a living. Like.
No, that's very true. But then don't shit talk other people who are just doing what you're doing. Like, you know. I'm the worst man to rely on for specifics in these things, but I heard him on WTF and I thought, you're a dickhead. Like,
that's an interesting criticism. That's not normally the criticism I hear about Joe. I think he is a man who's often very unfair.
This is
criticized.
Also 7 or 8 years ago, so maybe I might be being unfair.
I just feel like people will say, oh sure, he's a conspiracy theorist, or oh, he's a real right winger, and he's like, I don't think he is any of those things.
Right-winger?
Yeah.
Really?
Serious, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, he gets seriously smashed. Which, by the way, it wouldn't bother me if he was a particularly right-wing man. Like, it's like, fine, whatever.
I've said it before, man. When I was living in the States, I found the Republicans much easier to get along with than the Liberals. Liberals are fucking hard work, even though I agree with them. Fuck me, like,
it's just,
you know,
the earnestness that takes me down. Yeah. It just gets me down.
They're like, not a stitch of crack to be had with them, like.
Yeah, I can't be with it, like. But listen, that's neither here nor there. This is a very different vibe to his podcast. His podcast is this really laid back thing where he sits and sort of just asks
questions.
He's
not even necessarily trying to be funny a lot of the time on his podcast.
No,
so
he's not.
It's more of a conversation. Like,
yes,
you know?
It is much more of a conversation. But this, in fact, this took me a bit by surprise because... Actually, a lot of what's funny about this is kind of physical. Like,
well, I couldn't find it on Spotify. Otherwise, I probably would have listened to it on the way to work or something.
I think you'd have lost something if you couldn't see him.
Maybe so. Yeah.
I mean, there is bits in that dolphin bit where he's doing impressions of the dolphins jumping up out of the sea, looking at you.
Well, also, you had said, I had mentioned last week I was going to listen to the album, and you had said, "Well, watch the last 5 minutes of it," because he does a whole thing about. What's the fuck's it again? It's
the
about
Kardashians.
But this was another thing. This is also something that kind of bugged me about.
All of
it.
Your dreams could be real through surgery.
But this was another thing that bothered me.
Excuse
about
me.
The. James Earl Jones.
Definitely Jim.
But this was another thing that kind of annoyed me about it. I was kind of watching it going, oh god, another fucking Bruce Jenner bit. Really, like.
Why is everybody doing
even
that?
Fucking Bill Burr did it, like, you know, and you're just like, I just, it was one of those things, it's like a Stephen Hawking bit or something, and you're just like, oh, Jesus, really? You know?
Well, okay, I'm not as deep in the stand-up world as you.
Well,
I haven't heard
I'm not that deep in it these days either. I'm not very involved these days, but it was one of those things where, like, even Dave Chappelle, it was my least favorite part of Dave Chappelle's special, it was like, oh, Bruce Jenner bit. you know.
I liked it.
There seemed to be a lot of Bruce Jenner bits knocking about, like, you know.
Well, it wasn't a big thing, like, it was a big story.
Yeah, I know, yeah, but...
Joe Rogan is the guy who I almost, like, his stuff on Caitlyn Jenner, it wasn't even his stand-up, it was just on his podcast, the stuff he was talking about was... I thought it was the best. I thought he was the guy almost holding his shit together best over it, like...
Over
this thing happening.
The Bruce Jenner thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just he was just making points like, you know, this is a ridiculous human being. 2 years ago, he was best known for having killed someone in a traffic accident.
Oh, did he? I didn't know that.
This might be one of those things we could cut out. But no, this is true. This is what he was saying on the podcast. He was like, he's a ridiculous person. His sort of personal beliefs, his political beliefs are completely self-contradictory. He's not a regular person. But now... He's had a sex change, and you have to immediately forget what a ridiculous human being the man is. And I don't accept that. And, you know, that got him an awful lot of heat from the liberals.
Okay, well, that's actually...
But that's not a... I was like, okay. Do you know what it reminded me of a wee bit? Last week on the Jade Goody thing we were talking about. It sort of put me in mind of the same thing, because I had, obviously, Joe Rogan in my head this week, and and then I listened to the podcast, and we were talking about Jade Goody, where you had to fucking imagine that she was a saintly person taken from us so young, and I was like, did you forget that 6 months ago she was a racist cunt?
Yeah.
No, and now she's a fucking poor deceased mother. I couldn't be with that. And his point was all... It made me laugh when he talked about it on the podcast, but also, to me, it made an awful lot of sense. It was like, yeah... You can't suddenly respect someone just because they've had a sex change operation. If you didn't respect them before, it's ridiculous to claim to the idea that you have a sex change and suddenly now you respect them.
No, I get you. That makes sense. I just, like, I think another one of those things I remember from hearing him on WTF, he was kind of one of these people that was of the opinion that if you don't smoke weed, you're some sort of moron. You know, you got your head in the sand, man. You got to get stoned. And you're just like, oh, fuck off. You're a grown man. Will you piss off? Like,
I think there is a kind of person, in his defense, I think there is a kind of person who has never smoked weed and has never been in the company of people smoking weed.
Yeah.
But will happily tell you all of the dangers and evils of weed.
Okay, accepted.
And those people are annoying.
Yeah, they are annoying.
They really are.
They're the same kind of people who probably get fuck-faced at the weekend, like, and drive home, like, you know.
And they're also... Do you ever watch a film where somebody smokes a joint and suddenly they're fucking hallucinating and all these... And you're like, whoever wrote this has never smoked it. That is
well,
not
I don't
what
think,
that's
there's
like.
There's not too many films like that, is there?
I've seen a few, like...
Okay.
There is... It happens in a film I actually otherwise quite like, Road Trip, where the guy smokes a joint and suddenly the dog starts talking to him.
Oh, it's a long time since I've seen... I think I saw Road Trip in the cinema with you. I think we literally went to the cinema and watched fucking Road Trip.
It's possible.
And I think it's in Ithaca College, and I've lived in Ithaca since.
There you go. But I just feel like... I just feel like as long as those people are going on the radio, going on Joe Duffy, and passionately stating opinions that are... That... It just...
They have no basis in reality.
They have no basis in reality. And yet they are the basis of our law.
Yeah,
I do find that a frustrating experience.
I get that. But this business that if you've never smoked weed, you're a fucking idiot. That's nonsense. Like,
I would put the proviso that if you've never smoked weed or been in the company of someone smoking weed and yet have strong, passionately held opinions about the smoking of weed... Maybe then you're in.
Yeah, okay. No, I'll give you that. But that's not what he was saying. This is like... I'm not even remembering what the man said. This is a memory of me being annoyed. So it's not the most reliable thing in the world, you know.
I think people get very hard on Joe Rogan for one reason or another.
He does all right as well, like, you know.
Yeah, I know he does. But I also think he also takes a lot of shit. And I think it might be because he looks... Look, he also kind of courts it in a way. Like, he had Mel Gibson recently on the podcast, and that's a fucking finger in the eye to a lot of people. Like,
yeah.
And maybe rightly so. How do you feel about Mel Gibson?
Oh, I don't know. I don't... Like, I... wasn't following his career before this. I know he said some shit, and then I didn't follow his career after that, so I'm not really the man to ask.
I think it comes right down to it. I think, is he an alcoholic who will automatically, out of defensiveness, say the nastiest thing he can imagine?
Like, we all know people like that.
Or
is he just...
Yeah, exactly. But that's different from being somebody who genuinely believes that the races should be separate or whatever.
Yeah, well, what do you mean?
I don't know.
He seems to be a semi sort of welcomed back into the
yeah,
gang.
Yeah, so maybe people who know him better than me are able to make that call. But it's a tough one. I don't know. I just don't. I haven't seen his new film. Like, I'm not going to go out of my way to see it. Like, what is it, Hacksaw Ridge?
No, I fucking no interest. Even if you had told me
not
nothing,
a bad filmmaker. Like,
if you had not told me anything about that film, and I didn't know who was in it, and I didn't know Mel Gibson was in it, if you'd have said to me, "Do you want to watch Hacksaw Ridge?" I'd be like, "Absolutely not."
Really?
It sounds like a fucking ad for McCoy's Crisps. I don't want to see it. Like, you know, I just picture like fucking burly mountain dudes.
But is that not the whole point of the film? Is that not what kind of makes it interesting?
McCoy's.
No.
Do you know the bit where there's literally like a guy chops a bit off a log and then
yeah.
it cuts to an image of a crisp flopping yeah, over? So yeah, you also yeah. think these are wooden crisps that hard men eat. You know?
I love McCoy's. But
no, so do I. But like, do I feel like fucking.
They are made of spuds.
Do I feel
there's
like
no
fucking all of a sudden? Like, who am I thinking of? Who's the character that I could. Do I feel like
Woody
Grizzly Boyd Adams because I'm eating a fucking bag of McCoy's? No.
But. I think that's an unfair. I don't think that's what.
Of course,
made
it's unfair. It's like it's just a reaction to the name of something.
No, but I don't think that's what Hacksaw. I mean, I think Hacksaw Ridge has a more interesting premise than that.
Well, then I'd want it with a name like that.
But it's about a kind of weedy pacifist guy who was not allowed conscientiously object, or who didn't conscientiously object to World War One and went in to essentially try not to kill anybody. At war, but save the lives of his compatriots.
All three words in the name of that film are like tough, hack, saw, ridge.
But it's literally about.
But it's about the opposite. Then it's very misleading. We should call it something else because I might have watched.
No,
the
but
film
is that
you're
not interesting?
About. Yeah, I might have watched the film
it,
you're talking about.
But it is
about.
Clearly right. I will say this. I will give Mel Gibson enough credit to think that he deliberately did that. He deliberately made this sort of. Opposition, Hacksaw Ridge, and this really burly mass is a war film, and
like,
then stick a pacifist in the middle of it who literally was going there to die for, not to fight for his country, because he morally, conscientiously objected to that, but I will go and die for my country.
Oh, well, that's
a very
strange
idea. He's a strange man, Mel Gibson. I don't know enough about him. I don't
is
know.
Is he doing
about.
That on purpose?
I don't. Surely not. He could not have said, have made the play that he was this crazy anti-Semitic on purpose.
Did you know that one of the main reasons that Jonathan
Strange
Demme
man.
Made Philadelphia was because he got a lot of shit off the LGBT, whatever it was at the time, over Buffalo Bill.
I think there was
Silence
just
LG Lambs.
Then.
Whatever it is. What's the group called?
The LGBTQ.
But no, there was...
They have to stop adding letters to that, by the way. I will say that.
Well, I mean... You know, what else are they going to add? Like, you know.
Well, sure, I wouldn't have seen Q coming. I didn't see Q coming.
But whatever.
They need to stop.
GLAAD. Him. That's the name of the group I'm thinking
they need
of.
To
GLAAD.
Stop now.
GLAAD really got on him about Buffalo Bill in Silence of the Lambs. And that's why
would
the next
you
film.
Fuck me?
The next film he made was a, you know, sympathetic movie about a man dying of AIDS.
That's allowed, you know, that's not a problem. And Philadelphia's a good film. Like,
he's done a ton of stuff with Neil Young, Jonathan Demme.
He's not going to be doing any more.
Why not?
He's dead.
Jonathan Demme?
Yeah.
Did Jonathan Demme die?
Jonathan Demme was one of the 2016 Fallen.
Are you sure about that?
Or possibly 2017, but yeah. In that,
Jonathan Demme?
Jonathan Demme has
Philadelphia?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to look up this while we're talking, because that's
bonkers. I tell
you what,
I'll play the second clip.
Dude, what time is it?
This is a guy who... This is Joe Rogan's thoughts on a man attempting to... The true story, actually, of a man attempting to invade the White House.
Why did he break in the White House? Why do you break in the White House ever? Because you want to die. You don't, that's like a suicide run. That's the only reason why someone runs toward the White House. If you had to ask someone, like, what kind of security do you think they have at the White House? Oh, dude.
They got snipers on every corner. They got lasers in the grass. If you get too far, they open up the door, you drop right into jail. No? Turns out they don't even have a dog. You just fucking run. The guy who made it into the White House, he had 800 rounds of ammunition in his car. Left out there, took a knife. That's a guy who wants to die! He's just sitting in his fucking car going, fuck the government, and fuck my ex-wife, and fuck everybody! I'm gonna do this! Fuck you! Just, oh my God, I'm doing it! Oh my God, I'm doing it! Thinking with every step, this is gonna be the last step of my life! No, this is gonna be the last step of my life! Oh, this! He gets to the front door, it's unlocked! He opens it, there's a girl there by herself! Smacks her to the ground! It just starts running through the hall! Ah! He's probably going, why am I alive? He's probably thinking. He was in the inside for minutes, running around. He got tackled by an off-duty officer. He's probably thinking, I wanted to die. I don't want to go to fucking jail. Will somebody please shoot me? Then he's probably pissed, like, where are my tax dollars going?
That's Easy Tigers Raising Bulls. What the fuck's it called? Easy Riders.
Crouching Riders Raising Dragons.
Conversation about something else. But that was Joe Rogan.
That was Joe Rogan talking about the true story of a man who tried to get into the White House. That was his most dodgy Joe Rogan-esque. That was his most liberal baiting bit. Where he says, why do you have a woman guarding a president?
Yeah, and it's like... I don't know, it's a fairly ignorant bit as well, like, you know.
It is and it isn't.
Okay, go ahead. Expand, continue.
If Mike Tyson announced that he was coming back for one last fight, but he's going to fight a woman, how would you feel about that?
Depends on the woman.
Who's the woman? You show me, you point me, you point me to a woman who could take on Mike Tyson.
One of those bodybuilders.
They wouldn't be able to take on Mike Tyson, Danny.
Do it now, he's old and slow. I don't know.
Is there not a point to be made there?
I mean, I don't know.
Not really there, because obviously if you're guarding the president, you'd be armed.
Basically, in that bit, he has Britney Spears guarding the president. Like,
yeah,
you know.
I accept that. And obviously, you know, you can give a fucking AR-15 to Woody Allen and he would be able to kill anybody coming near him. Like, it's not, you don't... And obviously, if you put Woody Allen in a ring with fucking Ronda Rousey, she'll kick the fucking shit out of him. But there is a point where... Is there not a point there? You can't put a woman in the ring with Mike Tyson.
But you can... In terms of guarding the president, you can put a woman outside the White House with the same fucking weapons you give a man, and it will be the same...
Accepted. Now, I do think he was making a certain... He was drawing it for the... Also,
how much of that is true? Like,
oh, that's pretty true. That story.
I know
is true.
The event happened, but he has to be exaggerating it.
No.
Well,
he doesn't know the guy's motivations. He doesn't know that the guy was running. Going, this is the last step of my life. He doesn't know any of that. But the facts he gives you are true.
Okay.
The facts, genuinely, they are.
All right. Fair enough.
But He takes a lot of heat. Now, he was obviously going over the top to bait those things.
Also,
those people.
He's trying to be funny.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Exactly. Know. But there is a point, right? If you suddenly said, from now on, there is only unisex boxing, you would still be protected in many ways by the weight grades. But you would find the preponderance of women would be in the lower weight grades, and the preponderance of men would, and the preponderance of gender in the higher weight grades would be male. Wouldn't you? Is that a sexist thing to say?
I don't know, man.
I'm telling you. No, you do know.
But there's, like...
You do know that.
What do you mean, weight? Like, just by weight? Like, or...
The weight classes of boxers. You do know, Danny, that the heavyweights would be men.
Does some of those humongous bodybuilders that you see, would they not be able to, you know, give it a go?
But they would be going up against humongous male guys. That's the point.
Okay.
On an EU, I feel it's absurd to say, to make an observation like that and say that it's sexist.
Okay,
fair enough, man. But look, that's cool. You can say as much as you're comfortable saying, and that's fine. But I do find it absurd. It is just a fact.
if you had people of reasonably equal levels of fitness who assume an equal level of dedication and effort being put into the thing, they both want to be champions, boxing champions. The number of women, I don't know if you could have a woman in the heavyweight class. I don't know if such a thing would be possible.
Well,
you would have you be talking about is there extra a female chromosome heavyweight Russian shot posters.
Is there a female heavyweight boxing division?
I don't know. Well, no, there would have to be, yeah.
Is it a different
criteria? Oh, the weight classes are different for women than men, yes.
Okay.
Because with the best will in the world, if your average man and your average woman started working out the exact same fucking workout regimen, the exact same fucking effort and dedication, the exact same attention to diet, the man would get bigger. 99 times out of 100, the man would get bigger and heavier. It's not sexist to say that.
No, I get you. I know what you're saying.
Also, that's quite beside the point that the musculoskeletal structure would be denser on the man. That's just a fact. It's because of the hormonal content. Testosterone tends to harden and estrogen tends to soften the skeletal structure. Anyway, I'm not sure about the muscular structure, but about the skeletal structure.
Can you foresee a time when there's combined sex boxing
divisions? I would hate that to be the case. I don't think it would be... It wouldn't be fair.
Okay.
Because the men would kick the shit out of the women. They would.
Okay.
But that's not me being sexist. That's not because I feel the women are less dedicated. When it is a fact, it is a biological fact, that as a man, your fucking skeletal structure will be denser, harder, and more capable of taking those blows than a woman. That's a fact, right? That's just
a biological fact. Into this mess?
Because I feel whereas Joe is deliberately exaggerating for comic effect, the underlying point, the reason he's baiting those people is quite legitimate.
Okay.
And I do believe he is baiting those people. He's deliberately baiting those people.
Why is he baiting those people at his own gig, though? They're not the people who are at that gig. The people who are at that gig are people who like him.
They're not. But my impression of Joe is completely...
It's not like it's this fucking where you see Stuart Lee's comedy vehicle and there's people walking out and stuff, like, you know.
My impression of Joe Rogan is largely built on his podcast.
Okay.
And I like that guy. I like the guy who will sit and talk to people who... Even people who he's clearly disagreeing with. But give them the air and give them the time and have the crack.
That's where you found what's-his-face, isn't it? Jordan Peterson.
Jordan Peterson, yeah, absolutely. Who got in trouble there last week.
Oh, what did he do now?
Oh, a Vice interview where... I don't buy it. They haven't released, as of recording, they have not released the full interview. But it was a cut-together thing where he said he felt women should not wear makeup to work. But it was in response to a quest. He didn't see that. Even I saying that is completely wrong.
Look, men wear makeup to work.
No. The point is, the real point of this is that we got a cut up, a sliced up version of that interview where somebody said, well, then do you feel women shouldn't wear makeup to work? And Peterson went, maybe. And I would like
to... That was it.
That wasn't it. But I would like to know what the conversation was before that.
Okay, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
That's pretty... I mean, it would be funny if that was it. Like, if that was it, it was a 2 minute... News at 10 was just that. Jordan Peterson shamed again.
A 15 second interview. That was the entire interview. I see, I don't trust it.
Yeah, no, I know.
Because I've heard him... I've heard... Jordan Peterson is another man who I've heard those fucking... beating heart people who should be my natural constituency, who I should politically agree with, but just keep doing that to people who I don't feel they should do that to. Anyway, this is quite beside the point. The special, Joe Rogan's special, was quite silly in a lot of ways.
Oh yeah, I mean, there's the whole bit about the Kardashians, and then there's like bits about dolphins. Actually, I kind of, the one thing I did find kind of interesting is him talking about how he is a married man, he's got three daughters, and like, you do as a man have to kind of compromise when you're around that much femininity.
Yeah.
And it's kind of...
That's a funny bit.
It doesn't fucking... It wouldn't surprise me if that's why he has the podcast, like, you know, so he can talk to dudes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know...
Oh, well, he does say... Look, he doesn't say... He does say, look, I've never been happier. I've never been happier. I've never been happier. But I've never been this much of a bitch.
That is never. Funny, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. And he goes, every day, it's like I got a pile of marbles, my man marbles. And every day, one of them takes two and fucks them across.
As long as you're left with two man marbles, you're all right.
Yeah. Well, that's his thing. I was like, what am I going to do? Am I going to make this stand over two marbles? Obviously not. But man, every day.
It's true, though. Like, I know what he's saying. It's
absolutely,
like,
true.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Obviously, like, you know, I don't have daughters, but I live with a woman and I'm not quite the wild animal I was, you know, 8 years ago. Like,
yeah, but you have to have Rogan's perspective on that. There's a lot about that is good.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's...
Yeah. Having been in that situation made me a better human being.
Yeah. And obviously I wouldn't swap it to just be allowed to keep all my marbles, like, you know.
Those marbles are overrated in a lot of ways. Let me assure you.
It's just that... No, but I thought that was kind of interesting. Like, that was an interesting take on that thing. Like, you know...
Do you not feel like he had an interesting take on a lot of things?
I mean, maybe. I you know...
He's not a stupid comedian.
No, he's not.
Do you know what it put me in mind of? It put me in mind of our discussion about Trigger.
How?
Because... He's clearly, he's coming up with these conclusions, he's coming up with these weird sort of thoughts and these ideas, but they're not coming from a lack of thought. They're coming from just this completely parallel thought that's taking you down a completely different road. And he's asking weird questions. Can I play the last clip?
Yeah, go for it, yeah.
We might actually, for us to talk about it, we may have to actually listen to this one. I do apologize. But he's talking about there being the internet having created a new kind of person, right?
Do you remember this bit? No, I'll have to listen to it.
I saw a gal on Instagram. She has 8 million followers. All she does is take pictures of her ass. That's it. She's got a winning formula. She sticks with it. No witty memes. No inspirational quotes. Mm-mm. Just a lot of this. Just a lot of different ways. Just like. And she's just a regular girl, man. And I'm watching this. I'm like, this is a different kind of person. She has 8 million people that have no idea what her voice sounds like. She doesn't have a job that they like. She doesn't have an occupation that they follow. She's just staring at her ass. This is a new kind of human. There's never been a person psychologically that's had to navigate those kind of waters. If you really stop and think about it, science should really step in and start looking at this. Don't go to South America to study some new frog that nobody gives a fuck about. There's a girl in Florida with 8 million people staring at her ass. How does this girl keep a relationship? What is her day like? How many dick pics does she get sent? How many dick pics does that girl receive on a daily basis? Is it like the national debt counter was just fucking spinning out of control constantly? I bet if she turns on the notifications, her phone just starts screaming and runs away from her. I bet if she deletes all the dick pics from her phone, it would be physically lighter. This is a new kind of person.
I think that's my favorite line.
Yeah, to be fair, I didn't...
Be physically lighter.
It's, you know... It's funny. If someone else was doing this material, I'd probably like it more. I don't like him that much.
That's such a weird... I get that so
much. Look,
I
don't like what I see on... Look, maybe he's a lovely man. I don't like what I see on the internet, you know.
Look, I just find it... I like Joe Rogan a lot. And I find it weird that... I get that reaction to him a lot.
But I
find it weird that people just... personally dislike a man who I find so likable. I would tomorrow I would go and I would fucking share a joint with Joe Rogan.
Yeah,
even like not for the good of the podcast, like not that I think I might fucking get, I mean if nobody else ever heard about it ever, I think I could spend an afternoon in his company and be okay.
Yeah, okay, no, that's fair enough though, because when we did the Marc Maron special on the podcast a few years ago, I think you were in a similar position where you were just like, I just don't really like him that much, you know.
Yeah, that is true, actually.
And they're kind of similar kind of people, that they were like...
Really?
Well, not similar as humans, but there were two people who have really benefited from the podcast movement.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no one knew who the fuck Marc Maron was before WTF started picking up traction. Like, similar with Joe Rogan. Like, people... Yeah. He was in two TV shows that people would have seen, Fear Factor and News Radio, like, you know. But Marc Maron didn't even have that. He had a few bit parts. He was in Almost Famous for a minute. Yeah. Like, you know, and... So there are people who kind of... in a way kind of constructed their own celebrity and had pretty much fucking total control over the kind of presence they wanted to be, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I guess that means that more people are going to dislike them, you know?
That's possibly true. But I have an awful lot of time for him. I mean, they're all crazy things. I mean, like, he hates Hillary Clinton. He hates her. You get that again and again on the podcast in a way that I just think is so silly. Like, I think I think the worst you can say about her is she's a career politician and she has every flaw that would imply. But he goes on about her like she's mental. But that's okay. Like, I don't get the people who will be offended by that. Like, do you not have mates who have a... He asks dangerously, and I'm thinking, do you not have mates that would have opinions that you just are like, what?
I mean, yeah, of course. Like, I don't surround myself with people that just think the same thing I do. Like, you know, that would be pretty dull, you know.
I don't know how you would do that. I couldn't do that, like.
Yeah.
I think the only way you can do that is if you completely censor your own thought and what you say. You inevitably would have to say things you don't believe in order to do that. I feel. Whereas I would rather be in the company of people who I can say something to and have them go, would you shut the fuck up? And at which point I will go, all right.
Yeah, no, I get you. This
will come out when I'm slightly drunker later. I mean, not everything has to be a fucking great battle for democracy, like for the free, for
no,
the American way, like, or
no,
whatever.
You're right. I mean, like... There's times we talk about shit on this podcast where I'm like, I don't know if I agree with you there, and vice versa, like, you know. So, I mean, that's fair enough, isn't it?
Well, I'm a bit offended. I'm a bit disappointed, Danny.
In what?
That you would think anything I have to say is not worthy of reportage.
Well, of course it's worthy. I mean, you've got a platform and we're using it, like...
I don't know what I have to say. What do I have to say that's so controversial? Are we talking about this fucking heavyweight thing?
No.
I don't want to see Mike Tyson beat up another, yeah, I said it, woman. I don't want to see that happen.
I don't even know how we got onto that.
I told the person I went on that date with last week.
Oh, okay.
I told her I could batter her on the date.
How did that go?
I don't know. I don't know why it popped into my head. We were talking. It turns out I'm over a foot taller than her. And it's like, it's a bit weird, isn't it? And she's like, I can't remember how, but it got onto our respective sizes. And I was like, I mean, I'm not bragging. I could batter you. Like, if it came to it, I could batter you. And well, then I immediately had to go, I'm really sorry. That sounded really funny in my head. I'm so sorry. She's like, yeah, it's pretty funny. And I was like, well,
have you seen her again since, laugh. Or have you organized to see her again?
We were supposed to meet up yesterday, but she wasn't. She didn't brave the.
Says a lot about your charm that she's still willing to see you.
After I
so
told
everything
her
must be fine.
I could batter her.
Yeah, I could beat the shit out of you, so I could.
I could only say that to a woman. Realistically.
Or like an incapacitated man.
Or a woman or an incapacitated man. I couldn't even say it to a small man because, frankly, they're the worst. Small men are vicious.
Bite your shin off.
Well, see, small men, you're making a joke, but small men and small dogs have a lot in common.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean.
They're the nasty ones. You want to watch them.
No, I get you.
Big men. Because a big man, I've said this before on the podcast, a big man has never had to fight a day in his life.
He's looking at his fist, it's going, I don't know.
Just to stand and be like, what the fuck? Did I ever tell you about the guy in fucking Brubaker's there before Christmas?
Yeah, I think you the guy who was asking for a cigarette and getting aggressive with you.
Yeah, he got aggressive.
Yeah.
So I was like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm sorry, I got
Oh, sorry, I can't even remember what his excuse was. He was under stress for some reason.
He's not stressed.
Exactly. Fuck it's him. Like, welcome to the fucking adult race, son.
Yeah.
But anyway, I lit his fucking fag for him. I gave him the lighter. I lit his fucking fag. But later on, he was kicking the shit out of a guy outside Brubaker's, just across the street. That guy had gone through that nightclub until he found somebody he was willing to kick the shit out of.
That's.
And I was just lucky. I was lucky I was in the kind of mood where I was able to go. Because many's the time I'd have been like, oh, sorry, sorry. And I might as well have painted a target on my face. Like.
Yeah.
But that night, I was a wee bit drunk. I don't remember if anything had gone wrong or anything, but I was just Billy Big Balls. And I was like, what are you saying? Do you want this or do you not? I'm trying to fucking get it out. Obviously, you can see I'm trying. I'm struggling here to get it out for you. And he's like, oh, yes, I'm sorry, I'm sorry.
I would have gotten my head kicked in that scenario.
But does that not... I feel like that's a learning experience. That's a teaching experience for me. The next time somebody does that, I'm going to answer the exact same way. I stayed calm, I stayed polite, but I also said, I also adopted a tone that said...
Don't fuck with me.
Don't do this.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to. It just came out like...
Were you in the smoking area on your own?
Yeah, I was in the smoking area and there was only a handful of us there. Like.
It was a bad move going to fucking Brubaker's that night.
Brubaker, yeah, I can't remember the last time I was in Brubaker's. I have no business in Brubaker's.
I shouldn't be so freely admitting on the internet that I go to these places, but yeah, I'm.
Do we have any Dundalk listeners?
Probably not. I've got 20 years on everybody in those places, like.
Yeah, I mean.
Not quite. Possibly some in Ridley's.
Honestly, all I'm after in a pub these days is conversation.
I'm not with the crack.
It's, what?
The crack.
Like, yeah, the...
In every sense of the term.
I was sleazy. But, you know, banter and such, you know.
Yeah.
You can't do that in a pub that's, like, got Bon Jovi blasting.
I made the very desperate mistake at Glenstag of dragging us all up from the Rumhouse to Ridley's.
Oh, yeah.
We lasted 10 minutes and we had to come back down. I have no regrets about that. I'm glad I did it.
Because you never know.
You never fucking know. Yeah. That's exactly right. You never fucking know.
Do you have any closing thoughts about Joseph?
I think people are too hard on him. I think this stand-up special was particularly funny.
Are the other ones good? There's a few of them.
I haven't seen any of the others. It's the only one that I've watched. He's got fucking three-hour podcasts a week, Dan. I can't be fucking...
There's only so much Joe exactly. You can take. But even with Mark Maron now, I don't listen to every episode. Like, I listen to the odd one depending on who's on it. Like, I listened to Jennifer Lawrence on it this week.
Oh,
she seems like a laugh.
They could have given her a coat, but
what?
Did you not hear about that controversy?
No.
She's in some film coming up and they did a photo shoot for it in London and it was really freezing cold and all her male co-stars had coats like what's his name, Mad Max, Tom Hardy. Had a big sort of Del Boy style sheepskin jacket.
Maybe
on.
She might have had a coat and taken it off.
She said she came out and she said, no, it's my decision. I looked at that fucking dress. You think that happened by accident how I looked?
But they did a photo shoot in London. It's not like she walked from LA and got there and go, oh, I forgot my jacket.
See, this is the kind of person that you want to... This is the kind of person that I'm glad there's somebody like Joe Rogan who's willing to go out and... bait them. I like that. You can, there has to be a moment where you say, you know what, taking life too seriously, forget about it for a wee while.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's a switch I don't think a lot of these people have. So I like Joe Rogan for that reason. But that is not the only reason. I think that stuff is genuinely funny. And even if you didn't find it funny, I think our listeners will have to make up their own mind. I think the stuff I chose is a good representative sample. And honestly, it's very, very funny.
I think we have a lot more listeners that are on that agree with you than agree with me on these things.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Why? They don't fucking interact. Like.
Well, that's all right. I don't interact.
All right. Yeah, no, neither do I. I would have absolutely less respect for anybody who interacts with
So they definitely won't now.
No offense, everybody, like, but you know, it wouldn't. I don't know if I'd have less respect, but it wouldn't increase me respect. You know.
So I guess is that it.
That's it.
So do you have anything to swap for next week?
Yeah, I thought.
Okay, so I don't. I still haven't thought of anything.
I'll lead then, shall I?
Yeah.
And I'll give a big drum roll and let it stretch it out and give you some time to think about things. I want you to watch the documentary that I watched on the snow day The Death of Superman Lives.
Oh.
Which is about...
is it findable?
Yeah, it's actually very findable.
Okay, okay. And I've actually seen it.
Oh, have you?
Yeah. I watched it again because I don't really remember, but I watched it. You're making it like a bandit.
I was... There's one bit that we have to get to because I nearly threw the fucking laptop through the window. But anyway, go on.
Okay.
Go on.
Shit, man. What am I going to get you to watch?
Pick something. Pick a classic from your... A classic of your genre.
Oh, fuck.
What's your favourite album?
That's a big question.
What about Pet Sounds?
No.
Weren't you talking about Pet Sounds?
Yeah, we were. No, it's too late. Oh, okay. Listen to... All right, we'll do stand-up. Dana Gould. I believe it's called Let Me Put My Thoughts In You. That's the one that I want you to listen to.
Is it on Netflix or is it on Spotify? Or?
The album is on Spotify, so if you can't find the special to watch, listen to the album. It's not a big deal either.
Sounds good, Mahmood.
So for next week, Dana Gould, Let Me Put My Thoughts In You, and The Death of Superman Lives.
Sounds good.
So that's it. So thanks very much for listening, downloading, etc. Our non-participatory listeners.
Yeah, fair play to yous.
No need to fucking participate.
By the way, yous are the lowest maintenance audience in podcasting.
Yeah, we wouldn't be able to handle a high maintenance audience.
No, look at me. I can barely handle living my life as a single adult human man.
Can you imagine having to fucking, like, do admin on this, like, and answer fan mail and all that sort of shite, like, you know?
Fan mail.
You know, like, whatever. What's the equivalent of that?
Hate mail.
Hate mail, yeah.
Anyway, go on.
Anyway,
you would not get hate mail. I'd get hate mail. You would not get hate mail.
No, I think it would be the other way around. I think I'd be getting mail from nerds going, will you fucking watch some stuff and have some opinions?
Oh, yeah, the nerds wouldn't like you, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they would.
But they wouldn't like me because I don't like them.
Yeah, no.
I really feel like if I can enjoy this stuff...
So their identification figure in this is of no use to them, really.
All I can say is, lads, I hope yous fucking enjoy life. Because yous aren't enjoying Superman properly.
Okay, that's words to live by. Anyway, thanks very much for listening. I've been Daniel Hannan.
I've been Niall McCann.
And you know what? I don't care how you get here. Just get here if you can.
You can reach me by railway. You can reach me by trainway. You can reach me on an airplane. You can reach me with your mind. You can reach me by caravan. Cross the desert like an airy man. I don't care how you get here, just get here if you can. You can reach me by sailboat. Climb a train, swing rope to rope. Take a sled and slide.